Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and welcome to Nintendo World Report's Connectivity, Episode 68, Simultaneous Global Release. On this week's episode, we finish our look back at 2012 with that Nintendo year, and after that, we look into the future by discussing Pokemon X and Pokemon Y. Enjoy the episode.
Hey, and welcome to another fun 2012 look back part here at Connectivity. I'm your host, Neil Ronahan, and with me, we've got Scott Thompson, who's been with me the entire merry way.
I said hello too soon. Let me try again.
Okay.
Hello!
Okay, yeah. Hi, Scott. Good to have you. And joining us for the first time on our journey through 2012 are Mike Sklenz and Patrick Barnett.
Hey.
As opposed to the last Nintendo year I was on, I've actually played these games.
I was going to say, because you were on like 96?
I think 96 or 95, so yeah. I was like 2 or 3 years old.
Oh my God.
I was going to say, yeah, you were alive in 2012, so that helps.
Yeah. But yeah, so we're going to go through the second half of 2012. You can listen to last week's episode to listen to us go through the first half, which was a good time. We did with Danny Bivens, a little Japan Man action.
But well, and Tyler, don't forget Tyler.
Yeah, and Tyler as well. So a little Canadian Man action. So it was quite the party. You should listen to that episode. It's good stuff. It's unfortunate that Danny isn't here because we're going to start this off by talking about, like, I think his favorite game of 2012 or close to it, and that's Theater Rhythm Final Fantasy, which came out on July 3rd in North America.
Yeah.
This game's a shit.
Yeah.
I
got this game because of this podcast.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to get it, and then you guys kept, like, talking it up, so I bought it, and I loved it. It's great.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It was the kind of game that wasn't really on my radar until I played the review copy, but, like, because I got it, you know, got home from work, and it came in the mail, and I was like, oh, well, I'm going to send this out tomorrow, but I'll open it up and play a little bit, because I was curious. And then I wound up falling in love with it, and was like, oh, shit, I mean, it comes out in 4 days, I can't wait. And I got it the day it came out and played the ever-loving shit out of that game. It's fantastic. It's pretty much, like, exactly what I want in a rhythm game, where there's some kind of callback to things that I like, in this case Final Fantasy, and it's fun, and I guess there's some sort of repetition involved. That's the one thing that I don't like about other rhythm games, like Rhythm Thief, as we were talking about. Yeah, we were talking about last episode, because it was on Danny's list. I was going to say, we're going to talk about Rhythm Thief next. But because Rhythm Thief is not based around repetition, it's based about, you know, moving a plot forward with its rhythm games. And I really like Theater Rhythm's repetition.
It's a grind it out kind of game where you're just going for, you know, I'm going to get as many Chaos Shrine things as I can. Dark Notes, that's what they're called. Yeah, I spent like 90% of my time in the Chaos Shrine.
I just kept going to try and push the difficulty further because I just kept beating them and I wanted to get to the more challenging stuff.
My drive was unlocking characters, so I would kind of pinpoint certain Dark Notes that I would unlock and replay them to try to unlock characters that I wanted to.
That's something I never did. I never unlocked another character.
I went for like two characters. I think I really wanted Vivi.
Yeah, I think I got Vivi. I got, I think Locke was the second one for Final Fantasy VI. So I got him, and there was another one that I was. There were like two other ones that I was going for. I think Kane and Rydia. Yeah. But I never unlocked them because you need to get 8 fucking crystals. It takes
forever.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing is like,
even with a FAQ, I used a FAQ to help figure out like the best ways to get them. And it just took forever.
Are there only 8 of a crystal in the game or are there multiple?
Okay. No, they're awarded. A lot of them are awarded randomly as prizes at the end of Dark
Notes. Yeah. Like you can see like how they have the Dark Notes and they're listed with like the rewards for boss 1, 2, and 3. It's like, you can see, like, okay, an orange crystal will get me this person. Oh, look, this Dark Note will give me an orange crystal if I beat the third boss. So then you kind of go in there with your power team and fuck shit up and try to beat that boss as many times as possible.
Yeah.
And try to get as many
crystals. Yeah, getting 2 crystals off one boss is the best feeling.
Yeah. And then, I mean, what I did in that game is I like, played through every song before I even really went into the Chaos Shrine, just because, it was cool kind of experiencing each song, considering that half of them aren't even in the Dark Notes. It was worthwhile.
That's the only real problem with the game. Yes. I don't understand. Like, why aren't all the songs, or at least, you know, all of the the side scrolling and the battle songs. Why aren't all of those in the Chaos Shrine? Is one of the event songs shows up in the Chaos Shrine as a battle song.
And I think there's a battle song that's the travel music or something. It's weird. Like some of them switch roles.
Yeah, it's mixed up weird. And then some of them only show up in the shrine. Like, what is it? Like Mamba de Chocobo shows up in the shrine.
Which is hot as shit. Love that song.
Thanks for making the best song only appear randomly. Good job, guys.
Yeah, right. Well, just like Chocobos themselves, they're elusive.
They did not play Ride This Chocobo, so I was very upset.
I remember I was really curious about this game, and then we got a chance to go see the Square Enix room in that hotel at PAX, and I really wanted to check this out, and then James and Carly totally Chocobo blocked me and they got it instead, and we had to play Kingdom Hearts instead.
Yeah, the Kingdom Hearts, which was a really early version of it from Japan.
And that's not that's not a game you can just jump in and play 10 minutes.
I was like, this combat even seems the demo. Fun.
Yeah,
we'll be talking about Kingdom Hearts in a moment, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but Theater Rhythm, that would have been perfect to play 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah. You could totally get the gist of it.
Actually, after that PAX East thing, where, we were Chocobo blocked, I ended up completely avoiding it at E3 just because I was it's out in a month. I don't need to play it. And I was excited for it because I love Final Fantasy, but I didn't really think it would be as good. I just thought it would be kind of Final Fantasy song is cool. Mm-hmm. I know, Patrick, you played it at E3. What were your kind of first thoughts?
It was a nice booth.
It?
They gave us these really nice headphones, but it kind of felt weird standing and playing. Yeah. I don't think the touch controls
worked. No, it doesn't
work
well.
I have the magical square booth memory of, I think it was for Four Heroes of Light, where they had an exclusive demo for E3, and that was the most fun I had with that game because I got the final game and was like, hey, I don't want to play any more of this.
The greatest part about the E3 demo was that it was actually the full game build,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, because the game would have been less than a month away from release. So
yeah.
Well, it was already out in Japan.
Yeah.
So
I just distinctly remember walking up to the booth, and I picked up the 3DS, and it was just on the credits rolling, and I was like, well, what do I do? And the rep had to come over and fix it.
So we'll move on to the next game, and that's Rhythm Thief, whatever the hell the subtitle is, from Sega. It came out the week after, July 10th, so we had a double dose of rhythm action. I'm just going to shut up here and let people talk about this game who actually enjoyed it, because I didn't.
Is anyone here who even played it or enjoyed
it? I didn't
even
play it. I didn't play the demo.
I didn't like it a lot. I liked it a mediocre amount.
So why did you like it a mediocre amount?
This is a game that would have benefited from coming out 2 months earlier.
Yeah, if this out when it came out in Europe, then probably would have been higher on it.
Yeah, anyone who wanted a rhythm game in July got Theater Rhythm.
Yeah, which was the superior game anyway, so...
Yeah.
Yeah,
And I don't know, it was just... It had this perfect mix of Professor Layton and rhythm games, kind of kind of reminded me of a Rhythm Heaven type deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was just this mix of story-driven events just bogged down by mini-games that weren't that great.
Yeah.
Yep. So the next week's game, I know Patrick and I both played, and that's Heroes of Ruin, the second of three Square Enix 3DS games that came out in July.
And I think this was in that PAX hotel room too, wasn't it? I think Lindemann and who else played
Calafi.
This? Calafi. Metz there?
I think Metz was just playing Quantum Conundrum, because I sat next to him and watched him play Quantum Conundrum. Because I think for Heroes of Ruin, they had three 3DSs, but one of them... I think when they had three people, it was kind of buggy, so the developer played the third one.
Okay.
Heroes of Ruin, I really enjoyed for a little while, and then it just kind of got really repetitive, and I realized that, hey, once I beat this game, why should I ever play it again? And then I ended up not even beating it.
Yeah. That's exactly how I felt, because I beat it and never played it again.
Yeah. I'm at the point where, Scott or Mike, do you want to play this game? Because I'll sell it to you for cheap. that is how little I care to ever play this game again.
Well, that's not much of a reason.
What a great endorsement,
I mean, it's a fun Diablo clone, and I mean, it was fun playing online with Patrick, and I played with some random people at certain points, and it worked real well in that regard, but it was just
there's voice chat, which is real weird.
And the voice chat was pretty solid, too, even with random people. And that was really cool. And I remember hearing initially with this game that there were supposed to be randomly generated dungeons, which, I mean, I'm not a big fan of randomly generated dungeons, but to me that seemed okay, you can go into a new area and get new loot even after you beat the game. No, no, everything's designed. Everything, I mean, there's like random drops within the level, but you are like the level layout is the same. And
I thought the level layout changed a bit. Maybe.
Did it? Maybe. Maybe I'm wrong.
I thought everything was essentially the same. It was just like maybe this platform turns right instead of left.
Okay.
I might be wrong, though. I'm not sure.
But even still, like, I mean, it wasn't... I feel like somewhere along the line, the concept, the scope for this game got narrower, and it just became a lot less compelling of a title. Instead of being this epic Diablo for 3DS, it was just kind of like, yeah, it's that Diablo clone that happens to be on 3DS, and, like, it uses Street Pass, I think. I don't know. I never used it. I think I might have, like, 50 fucking Heroes of Ruin Street Pass things to clear out. I don't care. It's like you trade things. Why do I want to trade loot in a game that I'm never going to play again?
This was, like, another bad timing kind of game for me. Like, hearing Diablo clone
came out
clone
2 months
totally would have, like...
After
yeah,
Diablo 3.
Exactly, exactly. And I was, like, knee-deep in Diablo 3 all summer, so this is, like, something that would have been great any other time ever in history.
What
like,
happened...
just not that summer.
When did Torchlight 2 come out? Does anyone know? Because that was that other... Because it was supposed to come out right after Diablo 3, and I'm pretty sure it got pushed back. Mainly,
a little bit, but it was still that summer.
Yeah, it was still that summer, but, like, it was supposed to come out in, like, May. Like, right... I think it was, like, they were shooting for right before Diablo 3, and then they realized that they weren't going to make it. And I think the game was, like, done, and they held it over for a few months. I think that would have helped Heroes of Ruin out a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, it came out in September. You're right. Yeah. So they pushed it back. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not 100% sure because I don't follow that game too closely, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And that's
yeah,
what it,
because
with Heroes of Ruin, yeah, they're different audiences and everything, but like, I feel like there's a solid pitch to be like, oh, did you already beat the crap out of Halo or Diablo 3? Like, then you should buy a 3DS as opposed to do you kind of sort of like Diablo if you've even ever played it before and own a 3DS. Maybe you should get this game.
Yeah,
but I don't want to rag on this game anymore because it's not like I didn't enjoy it. Like I think I put like eight or nine hours into it. I mean I had fun with it, but it was kind of
soulless. The boss fights were good.
Yeah, the boss fights were real cool.
I remember doing that one with you online, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, like I mean, and it looked pretty good. 3D was nice. So the next game that came out is another game. Man, I was fucking negative about video games in July, except for Theater Rhythm. I think because Theater Rhythm kicked off the month, I just had a bad attitude. Because I only played... Well, I beat the Tron area in Kingdom Hearts 3D and then just stopped playing it. Like, that was... That was my Shangri-La, was that Tron area in Kingdom Hearts 3D. And then I just stopped because I was like, what's the point? I already saw fake Jeff Bridges talk fake shit about Tron. And I love that movie. Well, not the first one, the Tron Legacy. And what's
fuck,
the
you
point?
Don't like the first Tron?
Well, no.
it's way better than Tron Legacy.
Oh, no. I vehemently disagree.
It's not as pretty, but...
I think the first Tron's, like, it's a fun movie. It's kind of bloated, and it's slow-paced. Like, it's fun. But...
Yeah, but the new Tron's super generic.
No, it's not.
It's got the
so
same
good.
Plot as every other Hollywood blockbuster movie.
Yeah, so did Tron.
No.
But, I mean, I really, really dug Tron Legacy, and I'm excited to see the third movie. And I really dug the Tron Legacy sequence in Kingdom Hearts 3D. And then I went to, like, Monstro's Belly in the Pinocchio world, and then was just kind of done. Now, Patrick, you reviewed this game, so you have a lot more intelligent things to say about it.
Yeah, well, I actually played all the Kingdom Hearts games up to this point, which I don't think you had done. And for me,
I've played 1, 2, half of 358 over 2, and
2.
There was another one that I played parts. Oh, wow! And I played the Game Boy Advance card game, or not the card game, but like the one that was the card battler.
Yeah. Well, for me, I've like stuck with the convoluted story so far, so it only made sense that I'd keep following it here, like, with Kingdom Hearts 3D.
Was there a second one on DS? Because I think I played... I didn't play, like, Reed...
There's Kingdom Hearts Coded and 358 over 2.
I thought there was another one. I don't know. I feel like I played another one, but I don't think...
There are two on DS.
Okay. Yeah, but I never played Recoded. I thought about it. I saw it for, like, $10 at a... at a Walmart and was just like, maybe I should get this, and be like, maybe you should finish Kingdom Hearts 3D first, you son of a bitch. And then I held off, and then I cried.
Well, Kingdom Hearts 3D, I can say, is definitely better than Recoded.
Yeah, yeah.
Do these games still sell well? I feel like they've shot themselves in the foot with all these weird spin-offs and like.
I don't think they
shot titles too, man. Well, I think you market something with the name like that.
Yeah, you know what kills it?
A third one.
Is that it's not Kingdom Hearts 3. I guarantee you, if you put Kingdom Hearts 3 and you market it, that shit will go sell bananas.
Think it'll hit Wii U?
I hope so.
I have my fingers crossed right now.
I think it will.
It's been a lot of the Nintendo handhelds at this point. Yeah, why not?
It's basically a Nintendo franchise at this point, it feels like.
Yeah.
Well, there was one on a Nintendo handheld before Kingdom Hearts 2, and it didn't come to that.
I don't know what the state of that as far as like home consoles go, because I don't think Sony has any ties over it, but I think Square might still view it as kind of like a PlayStation 2/3 property, but who knows?
Have any of the Final Fantasy VII characters appeared in any of the Nintendo ones?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought maybe that would be something that they couldn't bring.
But there was
Cloud showed up in theater with them. So
there was a PSP. game, Birth by Sleep, which is supposed to be fantastic, but
that's the one I actually haven't played.
Download it, so I can't play it because I don't own an OG PSP. I only own a Vita.
Oh yeah.
That is the only reason I haven't upgraded to a Vita.
But the battle system in Kingdom Hearts 3D is way improved over the other ones. It uses the same combat system, I forget the name of it, that was used in Birth by Sleep.
It's like free flow combat or something.
Or that might have been a tweet. I don't know. Yeah, I think it's something. But the combat works really well, and it's very smooth, and it kind of like, you know, it's button mashy, but it's like a control button mashy because you have like this, I think it's the command deck or something like that. Yeah, that you can cycle through moves really easily, and it works really, really well.
Yeah.
And there's this whole...
It's fast-paced, and it's kind of chaotic at times, but get through it.
And then there's this whole Pokemon aspect to it, where instead of having Donald and Goofy, you just have these, like, random creatures that you can, like, fuse and shit like that. And
right,
level
and they
up.
Fight with you. Yeah, I remember that from PAX.
And it was kind of... I mean, that was kind of neat, but there's a part of it where it's just, like, you feel like you're all alone, which is also kind of... I mean, it's the whole part of the story. To sum it up as best as I can, it's like shit's about to go down in the Kingdom Hearts world, and then like Yen Sid is just like, "Hey, you, Sora and Riku, you need to pass your Keyblade exam, so go do that." And then that's the plot of Kingdom Hearts 3D is them doing that.
Well, you didn't get to the end; it gets a lot more convoluted.
Oh, I'm sure it does.
Of course it does.
Next game.
See
how much I care about Kingdom Hearts.
Patrick, any final thoughts on Kingdom Hearts?
Just Mike, I thought you were a Disney fan, so Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, but I've hated Kingdom Hearts ever since the first game.
Dude, the first two games are pretty great.
I have one major problem with the game, and I don't think they've ever really managed to fix it, is the camera follows way too fucking close and you can't see what the hell's going on around you.
Yeah, that was definitely an issue in the 3DS.
It's been a problem
one.
Since the first game, and they have yet to fix it, so I just don't play them. They're too difficult. Not difficult, they're just too frustrating to play because of that.
Oh, dude. I played Powerhouse through one, like, the week before 2 came out, and that was a fantastic, like, 3-week period.
I played half of one.
I like 2 so much better.
Yeah, 2 is a big improvement over 1.
Yeah.
But let's move on to the last relevant release of July, as far as I can figure. And that's an eShop game made by Renegade Kid and published by Ignition that was supposed to be a retail game. And that's Planet Crashers 3D. Did anyone else play this outside of me?
No.
this game looked really nice. You would go, like... It actually kind of reminds me of the Dempamen a little bit, except for you are only one character, but you do a lot of dungeon wandering, and it has, like, a timed action turn-based RPG thing going on, which was kind of fun. Nothing to write home about, but if that sounds like it might be up your alley, it's totally worth checking out on the eShop. I think it's $10. In August, we had 2 major releases. One I don't think the 4 of us will have much to say about, and that's The Last Story.
Unfortunately. I will probably get that this weekend,
I think. I put about 2 hours into the game, and it is very, very cool. My one kind of beef with it, which people who have experience The Last Story to its completion will probably tell me that, like, just play a little bit more and it'll get better in that regard. But your character, like, it's similar to Xenoblade in that, like, it's, I mean, it's an RPG, but you have that, like, where you kind of enter battle and then you control a main character moving around the battle while your other party members fight, and you can kind of control them. But your character gets this ability where you can kind of, like, just, like, kite enemies and, like, basically turn on aggro. So the enemies attack you. And in the battles that I've had so far, once I got that ability, is basically all I do is turn on the aggro so that way, the spellcaster can cast spells more quickly. And then I just run the fuck away because all the enemies are chasing me. And I'll turn it off and try to attack. And then, like, the spellcaster will be like, oh, this sucks. And then I'll turn back on the aggro. but I hope it evolves. Or else that'll kind of blow. So the other big August release was New Super Mario Bros. 2, which I probably will go down in history as one of the four people who will defend this game, because I enjoyed my time with it. And I got all the star coins, really enjoyed that game. It's not like flawless or anything. It's not super, super great, but I thought there were some levels that were really inventive, and it was nice to kind of have fresh people taking on the Mario name, even if it didn't live up to the huge legacy.
I definitely thought it was good. It just could have been a lot better
for me. Yeah.
Like, I beat it 100%. I got all the coins and everything. It's just I have no urge to go back anytime soon.
I think where that game fails is the whole million coin march, because it's just like, what the fuck is the point?
Yeah. I don't have anyone to street pass with around me, so I don't have anyone to compete against in coin rush mode. So there's no point to me doing that.
I think I crapped out at like 250,000 because I was messing around with it, like the DLC levels. I had some street pass things that I was doing, and like that was real cool. But I just kind of got to a point where I'm like, why am I playing this game anymore? Because like I'm marching to a million coins so I can change the title screen. Like, why?
The only time I ever went back to it was for the Nerve Rack Pack DLC.
Yeah,
which I really liked.
Did you play the free DLC that they had?
The one that was
like the retro one.
I didn't download that. Dude. Is that still free?
I if it's not, you should buy it. It's probably the best thing to come out of that game.
I actually downloaded that and played it. Even as much as I don't like New Super Mario Bros. 2, that pack is really awesome.
I mean, it's like something that like you play once or twice, or like maybe you're like feeling sad. And then you play that game and you feel happy, or play that pack and you feel happy again. Because it basically is just like all these levels from other Mario games intertwined. And it's real, real cool.
Are they still supporting the game with DLC, or are they done with
it? There was another pack that came out last month.
But
like
was that
December.
The last one?
I think that's the last one.
It might be.
I thought they billed it as the last one.
Well, they might be moving on to New Super Mario Bros. U DLC, because I know the hooks are in that game.
Yeah, now that would be awesome.
I wonder what they would do for that, because there's not really... I mean, unless it's just, like, more, like, mission or, like, more challenge
They'll probably do a set of classic Super Mario World stages.
Yeah. If they could do, like, where they throw in an entire fucking world, that would be amazing.
Oh, yeah. I'd pay $5 to $10 to download a whole world.
Yeah, same here.
Maybe they send you to the moon instead of a star.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm surprised these Mario games don't kind of dip into the past very often. I mean, like, Galaxy had the one level from Super Mario 64.
Which was probably the best level of Super Mario Galaxy 2.
So good, right?
Which one was that again?
The Throwback Galaxy?
Yeah, it was the second world.
The Bomb Battlefield?
Mario 64.
No.
I remember
the one with the
Womp. That's right, I remember.
The Womp's Fortress.
Womp's Fortress, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, like, with the sleeping piranha plants and all that stuff. And, like, that's so cool. And, like, I don't know why these games don't just blatantly play, like, with your nostalgia more. I don't know. It always surprised me. But I'm glad that they did mess around with that. But New Super Mario Bros. 2 as a whole is okay. It's fine. It's not as good as you, obviously. Yeah. And for someone like me who plays these games specifically cooperatively, like, with my girlfriend, this was a bad one to do that with, because the co-op mode was just completely broken. So I've got probably...
with a single 3DS? No. I mean, one game, I meant. Sorry.
No, you had to have two games, and then you were locked to the same screen. I mean, and
wow,
not
Nintendo
like...
Nintendo fooled you, Scott.
Yeah, I know, and not like you, which you will, you know, or even the Wii one will zoom out to give you a better view. Like, it stays locked in very close and just follows one person. And then if you jump on each other, it switches who it's following. So, like, mid-level, like, you could accidentally hit each other, and then it'll switch, and it will just throw you off.
That would have been cool if that was, like, a mode. Instead of, yeah. like, the entire co-op experience.
Yeah. So that, yeah, it was not very fun at all, unfortunately. But
So we moved to September, and September was kind of weak release-wise. We had Kirby's Dream Collection, which I thought was pretty cool. I enjoyed playing a bunch of retro Kirby games.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't play this one.
I actually didn't play the collection, but I played every game on the collection, yeah. So I'm sure the collection
is
great.
It's a nice package. And some of like the Kirby Museum stuff is fun to read through. I make references to like Cal Ripken Jr. and the Virtual Boy. So it's fun.
Was this collection better than the Mario collection they had a few years ago?
Oh, way better.
Okay.
Yeah, I heard it was, yeah.
You can check out my review and my pictorial of what came in the package back from September. Which I gave it a good review. The next game is Fractured Soul, the eShop game that was also supposed to be a retail game on the DS at one point. I was kind of disappointed in this game. Am I the only person that played it?
I'd only played the demo, so I didn't play a lot of it, but what I played, I kind of liked it.
Like
I feel like it would get old really, really quick.
It gave
though.
Me a really good first impression, and I was really enjoying it, and then I realized that like this is kind of all the game is. For those who don't know, Fractured Soul is kind of based around the whole two-screen mechanic of, like, you control the same character on both screens, but they're in different environments, and you can, like, you switch between which world you're on, or, like, which space you're in on the fly. So, like, that mechanic is really cool, and they kind of twist it up later by, like, one will be underwater, so he'll move slower. But it gets kind of punishing at sometimes, because there's, like, levels that, like, are constantly scrolling, and if you die once, then you start all the way either at the beginning or a checkpoint. And it just kind of, it got old fast for me. I got about halfway through it before I stopped.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but was this the first 3DS game that didn't have a 3D effect?
No, Bomb Monkey came out in June.
Okay, you're right.
And there might have been another one, but I know for a fact, Bomb Monkey.
Okay, you're right.
La Mulana came out on WiiWare in September. I did not play it, and once I heard how kind of, I guess, ridiculous and Fez-like it was, because it's kind of obtuse, I got really disinterested in this game. I don't have time for that shit anymore. and I don't know. Yeah, La Mulana. And then the Dempamen, they came by wave, came out at the end of September, and while I have my issues with that game, that you can go back and listen to the Dempamen segment that Tyler, Nate, and I did back in October. Fuck you, cat. My cat just jumped on something and fell. But yeah, so the Dempamen was... I really enjoyed it. I thought the visuals were very, very nice. But, I mean, there are issues with it. It's a fucking dungeon crawler. I mean, you kind of get what you expect to get. It's fun though. Did anyone else play it, even or just the demo?
I had just played the demo, which was all right, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it was worth dipping into for me. I kind of dug it, but
I remember you playing it a lot. You and Tyler.
Yeah.
I kept talking to Tyler, and he said it was the perfect game to just sit
there
and play.
Yeah, definitely.
Just while doing something else.
And the sequel apparently fixes a lot of what I had issues with, so I'm excited to see that come over in the near future. It came out in Japan around the same time that the first one hit North America.
That was confirmed to come out.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, because I think the Dempamen sold real well. And that, I mean, contrary to popular belief, that was actually, I'm pretty sure it was published by Genius Sonority in North America. Yeah, I mean, they're owned by Nintendo, but I think this was more or less self-published. So that's weird. And now we move to October. You guys ready? This is going to be
start
fun.
Ramping
oh,
up.
Yeah.
Things don't start ramping up. We're starting off with
not yet.
Crosswords Plus and Art Academy Lessons for Everyone. I really enjoyed Crosswords Plus, and I still play it from time to time because I like crosswords. Art Academy.
There you go.
Old man Neil Ronahan, ladies and gentlemen.
I mean, I moved on. I played the Sudoku game a lot, the Brain Age DSiWare game, and I played Mario's Picross before that. I just need one of those games that, like, just keep on my 3DS that I can go to. and whittle away until I wait for Picross 3D to come out, and then I will just delete all those similar games and just play Picross 3D on my 3DS until my eyes burn out. And I played a little bit of Art Academy. I mean, it is a game that teaches you how to draw, and there are limitations because it uses the DS touchscreen, which has limitations. But, I mean, it's really, really well put together, though, if you have any interest in learning how to draw.
Did you actually learn and improve?
I didn't play as much as I used to. Maybe a little.
I was going to say, you should test your drawing skill on Miiverse.
Yeah, I need to go back and train in Art Academy before I attempt that.
I hate those people on Miiverse, by the way.
I'm so jealous.
The people who are so good.
I don't know how the fuck they do it. I mean, it's like masterpieces. And I don't understand.
They're using a different gamepad that's actually good at picking up drawing.
Right? Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's shit for me.
No sense. I'm like, I'm going to draw something, and then I just draw penis coming all over the place, and I'm like, ah.
Yeah, like, I need to delete this.
Yeah, this is going to work. No matter what I do, it just ends up being a dick.
I did see a crocodile get through the admins, like, a week or two ago, and I laughed.
Was it in the War War Plaza, or was it in just Miiverse?
It was somewhere in Miiverse, I forget where.
Okay. I was going to say, if it got all the way to the War War Plaza and, like, was just on your home screen, that would be pretty impressive, but...
Yeah, I did see a crocodile, and that made me laugh.
It's funny, that stuff does slip through, at least temporarily. Eventually it gets taken down, but it is kind of fun to see stuff like that.
I did flag something, but I forget why. Like, I mean, it was something where, like, I'm like, oh, you tried to be sly, but you're a dick, and then I flagged it. Because it was something, it wasn't a crocodile, because that I just find funny.
I'm interested to see what happens to the community as more time goes on, in Miiverse as a whole, because I feel like it's been pretty good, like, self-regulation. Everyone's actually really nice for the most part. Yeah. I haven't seen any, like, trolls or, like, just, like, flame wars, but as more and more people get it, I'm kind of interested to see how that changes.
And when more games come out, I'm really curious just to see how communities blossom over time.
Yeah. One weird thing, real quick, is Tabby is, you know, registered, and she has, like, two friends, but she got a random friend request from this, like, girl who probably had to have been like 10 years old based on like her profile, because it was just one big long run-on sentence and like talking about how she loved her cat and, like,
just be at least 13, Scott.
Well, okay.
Be on the internet.
Don't.
But then so Tab is like, okay, I guess I'll add you. And then we were watching Netflix one time, and then that little girl tried to video chat Tabby. Like, the screen was like the home signal was blinking. I was like, she's trying to call you. And Tabby just freaked out and was like, delete her. So we deleted her, and that was the end of it. So
another game that came out that is in October that is somehow related to creepy girls is Code of Princess.
Where is Zach Miller?
Yes, he's still in Hawaii. With his lovely wife, so that's nice.
Not a good excuse.
But Code of Princess is a cool beat 'em up. It kind of gets old over time because it's the same shit over and over. But there's a lot of characters.
It was fourth on Zach's top five games, I think.
Yeah, which isn't a surprise at all. Even if he had bad things to say about the game. I mean, he enjoyed it, I know. I think he gave it like an 8 when he reviewed it.
It's on the eShop.
Yeah, it just launched at the beginning of the month in January.
Oh, there you go.
So if you want to download it, go for it. Then Pokemon Black and White 2, or I guess Pokemon Black 2, or Black Version 2 and White Version 2, if you want to be real specific about it, that came out in October, and I have the game, and I've gotten about halfway through it. I finally picked it back up because of the announcement of Pokemon X and Y. So,
wow, I didn't know you played so much of it. That's crazy.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm like, you know, I just beat the fourth gym. That's what I came back and did.
That's almost as far as I got in the first Black.
So. I beat the first Black and White. I mean, I'm on a pretty good streak of beating Pokemon games because I beat Pearl. I didn't play Platinum, but then I beat Soul Silver and I beat Black.
I have only ever beaten Red. Yeah. I own all of them.
Well, before that, I had only beaten Red and I think Blue because I had both games at some point.
I got to the end of Black and White, but I never beat them. I got like to the Elite Four and they were just too much pain in the ass.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'll probably slowly work my way through Black 2 throughout the year until X and Y. But, I mean, it's fun, but it just feels like I kind of just did this because it's in the same world. And like, when it was kind of like, once I got to the same repeat town, I'm like, oh cool, it's slightly different, yay. And now, like, I went to the same town again, and like, I, you know, beat the gym. Oh, instead of the gym being here, it's in the building next door. And instead of a roller coaster, it's a fashion show. Like,
oh. Yeah, I don't know. I kind of like Patrick. I've beaten the originals Red, Blue, and Yellow, and then like since then, every generation I pick it up, and I burn out after like the halfway point. It's just, it's all just the same. I mean, the Black and White were probably the first that I really wanted to get through, just because they felt the most original to this point. But
yeah,
still, like, and once you put in 10 hours or so, it's just a grind, and having to just try to level up each Pokemon to stay competitive, and I don't know, I just can't get into it. I'm interested in X and Y to see how those pan out, yeah. But I might be done with Pokemon.
Yeah, it's like comfort food for me. It's not the kind of thing. I mean,
yeah, but X and Y, man, they're gonna suck you in.
Well, I'm sure.
That's what he says every time, and then just like Black and just like,
yeah.
There is a distinct Pokemon cycle. I've kind of determined that, because with X and Y, it's like everyone shitting their pants, so excited about it. I'm just like, it looks like it's the same with some new graphics, and admittedly, the graphics look pretty fucking sweet. But I'm like, yeah. Like, it's not like the game's gonna magically be different. You're still gonna fight Pokemon. You're still gonna pick the same moves. It's just that, like, oh, now the character sprites are different.
It's 3D, yep. Neil.
Yeah.
Open your fucking eyes, Neil.
I wonder how the battles are gonna work. Like, is that gonna slow down the game? Kind of like in Fire Emblem, I know you can turn on the battle cinematics.
Yeah.
You can turn them off. I wonder if you're going to be able to do the same thing.
Well, I mean, you have that in Pokemon right now. Like, you can turn off the battle animations.
But I'm saying in X and Y, from the trailer, there was, like, full-on...
Yeah.
Right.
It'll probably be the same thing as in the other ones, where, like, they do have longer attack animations. I mean, obviously, it's a much simpler display in all the previous ones, but you can turn those off, and it streamlines the game a lot.
Yeah, I bet you can turn them off. I'm sure you can.
Oh man, some of those attack sound effects and just like the way they move are so ingrained in me, like a seismic toss from the first one.
Oh yeah. Wrap them up in a black ball and throw them around.
And bubble.
Yeah, bubble, yeah. Sure. Scratch.
Yep. Leer.
Leer.
Good old Leer. And like growl, where it's like, oh, he's singing to him.
Yep.
Good
stuff.
But yeah, that's Pokemon Black 2 and White 2. Then we got...
Sort of.
We
mostly talked about every other Pokemon game, but that's okay.
In October, we had a few more retail releases. There was Skyline...
Did you miss Cave Story?
Yes, I did. Well, we will lump Cave Story and Night Sky together, because they are both from Nicolas. And Cave Story is a fucking awesome game.
Yes, this is the first time I'd ever played it.
I think it's the best version of the game.
I got it... Like, it came out, like, a week before I was supposed to go to Disneyland, so I was like, well, guess what I'm doing on the airport?
did you beat it, Mike?
No, it's fucking hard.
Yeah, it's real long, too.
I'm at the part where I'm back in the egg corridor, and after it's all destroyed, and you get to the end of it, and you have to fight these two dragon things.
Oh,
like,
God.
Two dragons, and they just keep flying around in a circle, and you lose so much health on the way there. Oh, it's so... Just
I watched a friend of mine... play about halfway through the game without ever getting a life power up, and it was one of the most incredible things I've ever witnessed.
He must have been a badass.
Yeah, I have two friends who really enjoy sadistic platformers, and sometimes it's fun to just sit back and watch them play games.
It scratches that Metroidvania itch for me.
Yeah, it's real good, and I think the eShop version is like the best version of the game to get.
Well, that's good.
Unless you can get it on, unless, like, if you prefer to play it on a TV or something, play it on Steam.
It's great on 3DS. Yeah. I highly recommend it.
On the Night Sky, I'm not too big of a fan of. I think it's really boring. You roll a ball around, and sometimes it's cool, but for the most part, it's just boring, and it seems like...
I think you feel that way because of how you had to play it, because you had to review it. For me, I kind of broke it up over 2 weeks, and I liked it a lot more doing it in
I don't think that would have done anything, because the game still doesn't really evolve. Like, slightly, but it's like every level, like, some levels will be like this, then other levels will control like that. Sometimes there's a vehicle that you can put the ball into, and then that will go away, and then it'll come back. Like, I mean, what really kills me about the game is that it's it's not as soothing. I just find it boring, and it doesn't feel like the game progresses as you play it. It just kind of like, this game exists. Check it out.
Which, I thought it was okay, like, in that sense. I mean, I guess your argument's valid, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying like, Patrick, you have to hate the game. Because I don't hate the game. I just think there's a lot of issues with how it's laid out. But yeah. Night Sky. It looks beautiful, though. It really does. But mm-hmm. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Patrick. I'm very glad.
I'm glad I did, too.
Yes. You spend your money on it, and you deserve it, damn it. Just like I deserve to play some Skylanders Giants, because that game was pretty fucking awesome.
Beautiful segue.
The 3DS version, not so much. Now, I know, Patrick, you have both the Wii and the 3DS version. What do you think? Have you played either of them?
I have not played either of them.
All right, yeah. So Skylanders Giants, not a big fan of the 3DS game. Like, it's still kind of fun, but it just, I don't know, it feels more like the light version of, like, the big boy console version, whereas the first 3DS game kind of felt like a completely different game, which was really cool. And then,
Patrick, I'm surprised you haven't played these. It seems perfect. Like, your mom straps you into the car seat in the back seat, you put on the 3DS... And when you get home, you just throw the figure straight onto the Wii, play till bedtime.
That's what happened with the first Skylanders, and then I grew up a little. So
all my figures are in the coffee table at my house, hiding because Lauren doesn't let them out.
I have mine on a shelf above my bed.
Yeah, I wish I could do that, man. I wish I could do that, man. If I lived back at mom and dad's, God, I'd have the biggest Skylanders collection ever.
Neil, if Zach can figure out a way to let all his girly figures be proudly displayed throughout his house, there's got
to
be a way.
It's called,
you can
we need to move
to
into a bigger
figures.
Place. That's the solution.
It's called, you need to move to a frozen wasteland where nobody really cares that much about things like girly figures. And you can
right, where everyone's just so worn down and broken that they couldn't care about anything anymore.
I mean, like, his girly figures are there. I can tell you, I've seen them in person. They exist. That's for damn sure. But on Wii and Wii U, Skylanders Giants is a fantastic game if you get around the whole, like, you need to buy a bunch of figures to enjoy it. Although I stand by that you could just buy the starter kit and enjoy the game on its own merits, but it becomes even better when you add more characters into the mix, which is kind of it's like the gambler's problem. Or like,
I'm probably going to wait to play it until I get all the different elements, so I can do all the different challenge gates and stuff on my way.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah.
In October, we also had Professor Layton and the Miracle Mask, which I've put about 3 hours into and have not finished. But want to. And I hear more about the new Layton game, so I probably will.
Wow.
this was good. I haven't beaten it. I do actually really like it. And,
oh, it looks beautiful.
Speaking of, yeah, exactly. Speaking of, like, Pokemon, which has just been doing the same thing. I mean, that's how Professor Layton's been, but for whatever reason, this one's pulled me in the most since the original Curious Village, so I'm excited to keep playing. I downloaded it, which is great, because it's just always sitting there in the 3DS, so anytime I'm, like, done playing whatever it is I'm playing, I can go jump in there and do a few puzzles. So
the kind of, like, weird thing that I discovered by having it on the system is that I've been doing a lot more of the downloadable puzzles, because I'll just, you know, be sitting at home and be like, oh, I feel like doing a puzzle. I don't really want to get too deep into the story, so I'll just crack this open. But the only crappy thing with that is that all the downloadable puzzles, it's like the same type of puzzle, but then there's like a harder one. So
that might have changed by now. I feel like they might have cycled in new.
I saw someone tweet on Twitter that was kind of like 73 days later, and they've introduced the first new concept since the first week. So I don't think it's really changed. So basically, you have, I think there's probably like somewhere between like 5 and 7 different puzzle types, and you have like 10 of each.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, like, it's kind of cool that they're there, but it's like, it's the same slight variation on it, but harder.
They're essentially like the in-game minigames. Like, there's that robot game. There's like 10 levels of that throughout the game. I'm not sure if you played that. And
I played a little bit of
there's
that.
There's that other store game.
I mean they're more like, you know, like puzzles from the game. But it is that kind of thing where it's like there's levels. But I do. I mean, I'm excited to dive back into it. It's just that, I don't know. I feel like the Leighton stories don't grab me as much as they used to. I mean, I think after Unwound Future, no Leighton game can really grab me as much as that one. Because Unwound Future was both insane and so insanely heartwarming that I basically shed a tear at the end of that game.
I was going to say that end.
Holy shit. I think about that, and I just think about, like, going and crying in a corner because it's not fair. Like, you guys want some... Like, you finish The Walking Dead, and you're like, I want something real harrowing. Play Leighton 3. At some point, like... Oh, man, I don't even... Because it's some late-game shit, but, like, the insane things that happen in that game. Like, Leighton's just like, all right, I'm going to build a fucking helicopter. No, I think it might be, like, Don, whatever his name is, Don Pablo. He's just like, I built a helicopter out of this car. And you're like, what the fuck?
It was Unwound Future, right, where he built the slot machine.
Yeah, gun. Yeah, that was the slot machine gun, which is probably my favorite thing to happen in a Leighton game ever. Because it's like, there are guys shooting bullets at Leighton, and I guess it's like older Luke or whatever from the future, and shooting guns, and Leighton's just like, oh, let me solve this puzzle, and then turns a slot machine into a gun and shoots coins at them, and they're like, oh shit, we gotta run away. It's so good. Yeah, Miracle Mask. I feel like we just like talk about the new game and then talk about the game that preceded it.
And at this point, would you guys, I mean, Neil, you kind of touching on this, but would you rather just have these games just be a bunch of puzzles with not much story?
Probably not, because, I mean, like, well, I guess there's a part of me that's like, yes, but at the end of the day, no. I just wish the story would kind of shut the fuck up more, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm glad it's there, and, like, sometimes it's slow to build. Like, it's just the hook in Miracle Mask. It feels like the answer is super obvious, and it probably is, but there's probably some asinine way that they're going to get there.
Yeah, of course.
But it's just like, they keep on going into cutscenes, and it's like, I just want to play some puzzles, which is why I ended up stopping playing the main story and would just play the downloadable puzzles every now and then.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. Especially the beginnings of these games are always so slow, especially this one. You know, it's like every screen you walk onto, everyone's got to talk, and it's like 10 minutes before you move on, and there's so few puzzles, so I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's better management.
I think the transition on the 3DS has kind of slowed it down as well, because now instead of just tapping around, you're doing that slide to look around.
Yeah. Which I like. I like that. But yeah, it does slow it down a lot.
It's slower, though. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, I usually get to a point in every Leighton game where I just stop looking for things and just move through the story. And I mean, like, and solve puzzles along the way, of course, but, like, instead of, like, scouring every area for hint coins, I'm like, I have like 50 hint coins. Like, I ain't gonna need or want for any more of these. There are probably like 20 puzzles left in the game. So we had another retail release, Zero Escape Virtue's Last Reward. I own 999, the predecessor to this game, but I still have yet to play it. I'm judging by that silence that no one else has played it either. If any of the people who love this game were on this, they would say a lot of nice things about it. Because I hear it's fantastic, but I've not played it. I want to. It's just that, you know, time.
I want to play the first one.
Yeah, same here.
Zero Escape.
Although I keep on hearing about how the second one, like, it improves upon so many things about the first one that kind of hamper the first one. So there's a part of me that's just like, well, I mean, the second one's way better. But I want to stick to my guns and play the first one first. And then the last thing that came out in October is Liberation Maiden, which is the first of the three Guild Zero 1 games, which I guess we'll just kind of talk about as an entire entity here. There was Liberation Maiden, which came out in October, then Aero Porter from Yute Saito, that came out in November, and then Crimson Shroud, the Matsuno RPG, that's like basically a single-player D&D campaign that came out in December. I've played all three of these, and Liberation Maiden's like frenetic Star Fox / Kid Icarus-esque fun that is short and ridiculous, but really, really fun, because you play as she's now the president of Japan, but it was the president's daughter, and like she needs to make the world grow grass again. I don't know. Like it's a suit of 51 joints. It's a grasshopper game. It has a totally nonsensical story, but it's a lot of fun, and it also has some really silly dialogue and voiceovers and stuff like that.
I do remember the opening scene looked really, really nice.
Yeah.
They did that Leighton-ish, yep, 2D art, whatever that's called.
It's a really cool game, and it's pretty cheap, yeah, if I do recall. Aeroporter is super, super weird. You sort luggage, and it gets really, really hard and confusing pretty quickly.
I feel.
Yeah. Like when, yeah, I think you made a comment about it, Patrick, about how like it starts off where there's only like two or three luggage wheels going around, and then it's like, okay, so you're doing fine with three, here's six. And I'm just like, what? I'm not ready for this. And like I have to deal with like the lights going out too. I need to get batteries? What?
It's just such a pain when you're working on, say, like you need to get some green luggage down to the very bottom, yep, carousel. And while you're doing that, stuff on the top is dropping lower than it should be, and
yeah,
then you have to move it back up. Stuff on the bottom's, oh.
Like, it's cool. It's novel, but it's not that much fun.
I think it was Tyler that told me, you just have to forget about being perfect and getting all the right colored
and
luggage.
And just get the special requests.
Right plane, yeah, and just do the special.
But that, I mean, that's like, it becomes not as fun for me when you're focusing on that, but that might just be me. I think the jewel of the Guild 01 games, though, is Crimson Shroud. It's a really, really fun RPG that has some real asinine, obtuse, like, solutions to puzzles that aren't really spelled out in the game. So you might have
to... Yeah, I remember, I think Guillaume's,
yeah,
review was like, this is great, except for one,
yeah,
horrible,
and it happens
thing.
A few more times in the game, but there was one totally egregious one that I spent, like... It was one where, like, I started, you know, bang my head against the wall, and I'm like, wait a minute, he said it was at the end of chapter two, and I went and read his review, and I'm like, okay. So I went and did what he said to do in the review, and then it didn't work. And what it is it's like, basically, it's like, you need to beat these enemies in a specific way, and there's a random loot drop.
Yeah, right.
So, like,
yeah,
I beat those enemies, like, fucking six times, and finally got the random loot drop.
It was so
frustrating.
I mean, before the game was available to everyone, I remember him and Jeremy Parrish, like, talking on,
yeah,
Twitter, and it just sounded like nonsense, like, these steps,
yeah,
they had to go through.
Well,
like,
because I think Parrish just got it on the first go.
He did, yeah, or the other way around, something,
yeah,
yeah, where one of them got it and the other one didn't and had to, like, keep going through, yeah, and repeating the same fight over and over and over.
Like, other than that, like, the game looks really cool, and it's got this neat aesthetic because everything's figurines, because it's basically, it's a D&D campaign. That's what it is. Like, sometimes I think there was a Penny Arcade comic about it, which really, I mean, I can see why those guys would like it. Where, like, there is the ability to reminisce with your party members, which is just hysterical. Because, like, this game is a D&D campaign, and you are moving figurines from room to room, and you are fighting, like, when you defeat an enemy in the turn-based battles, they fall over, it's a figurine, it says level 5 on it, it's so cool. But it's a game that kind of surprised me, because I figured I'd enjoy it. I didn't think I'd enjoy it as much as I did.
Maybe I'll have to check out. How much is this on the eShop?
I don't know. Six or seven, maybe? Maybe even just five.
That's not bad. Maybe I'll check it out. This seems like something I'd like.
So moving on to November now. We'll knock out the other eShop game in November, and that's Crashmo, which I think is fantastic. I think it might be, next to Mutant Mode, it's one of my favorite games on the eShop of the entire year.
I feel very differently. I think it's too difficult for me.
I mean, I just think it does such a good job of kind of simplifying the concept of Pushmo and refining it to, like, just, like, kind of what's necessary instead of the... I mean, not that, like, Pushmo was bloated, but some of those puzzles were super, super large, and everything in Crashmo is so refined and focused. And, yeah, it's really, really tough. I mean, so are parts in Pushmo. But I feel like... Well, I feel like what sets it... Probably why you're frustrated with it, Patrick, is that in Pushmo, you had more ability to kind of, like... If you were stuck on something, you could kind of fuck around with it and you might do it accidentally. Whereas the chances of that happening in Crashmo are a lot harder.
Like, I think I'm on, like, the fifth or sixth puzzle and I'm just stuck.
Yeah,
I can't do it. And I refuse to skip.
I'm on, like, 94 out of 100.
I hit that point at Pushmo at some point. I don't remember when it was, but that's why I haven't picked up Crashmo, because I never beat Pushmo.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's really cool, and the games are really completely different. I mean, outside of, you know, the setup
well,
and everything.
Well, then maybe I'll get it.
I mean, you're still pushing blocks around, but the way that you do it is a lot different than it is in Pushmo. And I prefer that. But I could totally see why people would prefer it the other way around. So in November, we had some 3DS games come out, such as the Adventure Time game, which, Mike, do regale
us.
Yes,
the Adventure Time game, which is really fun, except for the fact that it is, like, criminally short and too easy. But I went in expecting it to be easy, because I knew, like, obviously the game has to be made for kids. It would be nice if there was, like, there's a New Game Plus mode at the end that
apparently
I haven't played
yet. Apparently it's a lot harder.
Is it? Okay, well, maybe I'll go through the New Game Plus, because the first one I burned through in, like, a weekend. It's really, like, it's written by Pendleton Ward, so it's really funny, and it captures Adventure Time absolutely perfectly. The music is surprisingly actually not as good as it is on the show, but it's still quite good anyway. But yeah, it's really fun, and if you like Adventure Time, I would highly recommend it. I might tell you to get it when it's on sale. Or you could probably get the DS version, which I think both versions are only $30, even the 3DS one.
You can buy the 3DS game for $30 on the eShop, I know. And there's a demo if you want to check it out.
Thing.
Although there's only three plays allowed of the demo.
Only recommended for Adventure Time fans, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I played the demo and basically came to that conclusion. And that, like, you know, it was kind of cute to play through it, but I'm not a big, big fan of Adventure Time. So, I played the demo and was just kind of like, I see why if I liked Adventure Time, this would be amazing. But I don't like it as much.
I
played
evil.
The demo, but I don't watch the
show. I don't hate the
and
show,
the
Mike.
Music was
There's
real.
Nothing in there if you don't watch the show.
Yeah.
It's just it's an easy Zelda 2 clone.
Yep.
Is what it is. And I love that it's a Zelda 2 clone. That's great, but
I feel like that's perfect for that show. That's
yeah, it's
Zelda
perfect
2.
For the show. And it's really, the whole thing is, the inventory management is kind of a nightmare, but it's the game itself is good, and you don't really need to really get into your inventory almost at all, because the game is so easy that you don't need most of the items.
So we'll get to another 3DS game that was kind of, I would say, my biggest disappointment of 2012, and that's Epic Mickey Power of Illusion, which, man, I was looking so forward to every time I played that game, whether it was, you know, at E3 or on that big ridiculous Disney World trip. I really enjoyed it. Sincerely, totally enjoyed what I played. And little did I know that I basically played the entire game.
Yeah, it's too easy, and it's too short. Again, just like the Adventure Time game.
Yeah, and, like, it's the kind of thing where, like, I was expecting so much more out of that, and I feel like I just played half a game. And, like, what's there,
because, like,
what's
even,
there?
Even,
it, like, it, as a platformer, it feels really nice. I mean, it's slow-paced, but
it's really slow-paced, and that's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it's slow-paced, but I feel like it works within the game, but kind of what slows it down even more is the fact of the whole painting and drawing mechanic, which in some areas is okay, but sometimes it's obnoxious because, like,
switching it back and forth.
Yeah, I need to erase
or
this, and then I need to draw on this cannon, and then I need to erase that block, and then I need to draw on this cannon. So it's not so much like you're, you know, doing things that are real cool to progress. It's like you need to tap the button to go down to the touch screen and then scribble something out. And then do an outline of something to draw something
and
back.
And the erasing part is, like, just boring.
Yeah. Yeah, the erasing.
At least the drawing is, like, you have to try and draw it well.
Yeah.
But the erasing is just, like, whatever, just erase it.
Yep. And then the game just, I feel like it just ends. Like, it honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if we find out in a couple years, or we find out when there's Epic Mickey Power of Illusion 2, which, honestly, I kind of hope happens, because I feel like that would be a little bit better. Where, like, it'll be like, oh, yeah, we only got to do half of what we did, or what we wanted to do, and now we finally get to do the second half. And
right.
I'm like, so, all right, we'll have another fucking three-hour game. But, yeah. And then there's multiple endings that you can unlock, but that's a fucking hoodwink and a half. Because you unlock all these characters, and there's this fortress, and you do quests, which is kind of fun, although it feels like it's a little bit disconnected from everything. But and that's, it's real fun, and then you get to the end credits, and the multiple endings are just like the Beast comes up, and he has a dialogue where he's just like, "Thanks, Mickey," and then like Peter Pan shows up and is like, "Thanks, Mickey," and like, oh man.
And there's a crap load of dialogue in this game too. Sometimes it feels like it goes on forever, and it's like, this is a portable game.
Yep.
I only have so much time to play it usually when I'm playing it, because it's portable.
Speaking of lengthy, I guess wordy portable games, there's also Paper Mario Sticker Star, which I wouldn't say was a crushing disappointment to the level of Power of Illusion, but it, I had much higher hopes for this game, and it did not live up to that. I actually, Scott, I agree with your review, like, 110%, and that this game does a lot of things right. It looks gorgeous, but, like, fuck, man. Stupid things.
It's just not fun. Like,
I think it's getting better for me now that I'm in World 5.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'm ever going to get to the end of World 3. I just have no willpower to move
I'm
forward.
I'm at World 5, too. I thought World 4 was pretty good. And what sucks is there's cool levels. Like, in World 4, there's a cool ghost house where you have to go and get rid of all the boos. And there's 100 boos, and you have to go through. And it's almost like a mini, Luigi's Mansion.
That sounds kind of awesome. And I might try to play through the game to get to that part and then stop.
And then you have to collect all the boos. And then once you do, it's cool because the game... The levels will change after you do stuff. So, like, right now, Neil, you're in the poison forest, right?
I know the poison goes away.
Exactly.
But, dude,
and then
fuck
you can go
those levels.
And, like,
I don't want to go back.
I know. And then you can go through and collect stickers and stuff you couldn't before. And then, like, the mansion, once you clear out all the booze, you can go back. And, you know, it's just, like, a nice mansion. And the owner's there. And, like, you go there to get extra stuff. But just puzzle solving and all the things to collect. And it's just – it's a total grind. And it's impossible – seriously impossible to play that game without a guide.
Yeah.
Unless you just hate yourself.
Well, I think the thing is that, like, I know some people pointed this out, like, there's an early boss where if you have the baseball bat thing turned into a sticker, then, you know, he's super easy. And there's a kind of tell to that because, you fight him in a baseball diamond. However, the only way you can figure that out is by going to fight him. So how the fuck does that make sense? Because what happens is you collect these real-world things, and you need to take them to an area in a town. I think there's, like, a couple of them that you can find as you go through the game.
Yeah.
You turn them into stickers. And they're usually giant stickers that take up a lot of space in your sticker book. So for me, I usually just leave them as things unless I know I need to use them. Because, one, also, I don't know when I will need to use this for a random fucking boss.
Right.
So how am I going to know, have the foresight to go to this boss and bring the baseball bat as a sticker?
And that's early on.
Yeah.
I mean, once you get later on, you've got like pages of things. I mean, you can't carry them all with you.
I'm at a point where, you know, I've had a couple puzzles where I'm just like, I have fucking 10 things I'm looking at right now, and I have no idea what to do.
Yeah. And especially later on, they become environmentally, like, you have to use them in the environment, too. So, like, in that fourth world, you have to use, like, the radiator to melt snow, like, to melt a snow.
And, like, that's really clever, but, like, I feel like it would have been better if just, like, you get a thing and then, like, you can use it whenever you want.
Yes. Yeah, you don't have to make it into a sticker. You just use it. And that would be great because then you could just experiment. You could be in a boss battle and say, what do I need to use? And then look at your things and just try different things. Instead of having to lose the battle and then going back to town,
And guess what? Also,
you pick the right
one. With that game, it's not like you lose and go back to, like, the start of the level or something. It's like you lose and go back to the last save point and lose all progress. Like, that's fucked.
Yeah. Yeah, so that it's just totally boned, and it just sucks because the game does look great. I like the writing.
The music is so good.
And the music is great, and it's fun when you're moving along, but you hit those roadblocks so often that it really is just a pain, unless you just accept the fact that you're going to have to sit and play with a walkthrough in front of you. Like, I'm to the point where when I play, I just have the walkthrough open. I read what's going to happen in a level before I play it to make sure I don't miss a thing that I'm going to need and I don't forget to bring a thing I'm going to need. So it's really disappointing.
Yeah. So we'll move on to the kind of, as we get to Wii U launch here, we'll go to the game that's kind of, I guess, the connective hybrid tissue of Wii to Wii U, and that is Epic Mickey 2, which Mike reviewed for us on Wii U, and the review should be up by the time you hear this episode.
Hopefully it will be up by the time
you
hear this
what
episode.
What do you have to say about Epic Mickey 2?
God, I really want to like it, but it's hampered with so many technical issues that I can't, like, really... I would recommend this game, but I would recommend that you pick it up on a different platform, one that where it runs more stably. The game is... I don't know, a little bit better than the last one. I enjoyed the last one. It's easy. This one is still easy. I mean, you know, again, Disney game has to be, it can't be too difficult because kids have to play it and enjoy it. It's Warren Spector's affection and love for Disney it's infectious. It's just baked into every aspect of this game, and it's such a brilliant trip through the Disney archives. The problem is that it's like someone's trying to poke you in the eye the whole time. Like, the frame rate constantly drops. I've gotten Mickey stuck, like, I think I got him stuck like maybe one, two, or maybe three times at the board, like to a point where I had to reload a save, where there was one point where, like towards the end, where he pulled a lever but somehow he got stuck and he just kept dying, and Oswald would respawn him and he would die and Oswald would respawn him, and it would just go in a cycle. There's no way out of it because he was stuck, so that was a fun one. But yeah, so it's got some technical issues. I would love to tell you to get it, but I would tell you to get it on another platform.
Cool. Yeah, my excitement went from kind of there to rock bottom when I put in the Wii U version and no sound emitted during cutscenes.
I've heard multiple people say that, and it did not happen once.
Well, what I realized is when I put it back in, the system would work, and then I stopped playing it, and then I played it again later, and then it was also, it did not work then, and then I just gave up on the game.
That's weird. I never had that problem at all, ever.
So let's get to the Wii U launch, and we've talked about a bunch of these games pretty recently.
Yeah.
So we'll kind of we'll rattle this down in some kind of quick style. I guess maybe how about one thought from each person? Does that sound good? Does everyone agree to that?
Go for it.
No, sure. Yeah.
All right, new Super Mario Brothers. You, Mike.
Yes. Yeah.
Scott was about to go. I will say better than I expected, and I'm actually on the final Bowser fight right now, and I'm about to beat it. It's good. I like it a lot more than I thought.
Patrick.
The music wasn't that great, but the credit music was amazing.
Very true.
I will know soon.
Scott.
Loved it. Best new Super Mario Brothers game to date. The music isn't great up until the last world. The overworld theme for the last world is great because it's that awesome, definitely, like, haunting rendition of the castle theme, yeah, for Mario 64.
I want to go back and play that game.
That's
not
the
Mario 64, Mario U. I think it's like the best Mario game in a long, long time. Side-scrolling Mario game, and it just man, like, it's inventive. It feels so big compared to any Mario game since World.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And DLC would just make this game even better. I really hope that does happen.
I would love to see, like, an additional world come out of DLC. That would be so fucking cool. But this game is awesome. I think it's... they actually released the numbers for it, and it has something like a 65% attach rate with Wii U's.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
It's pretty good.
So we got Zombie U. We'll start with Scott on this one.
Fucking best game ever.
All right, Patrick,
there's a demo now, so if you haven't played it yet, you have no excuse.
So Mike, how about you tell us about that demo?
Yeah, I played like 15 minutes of it and I killed like four zombies before I had to start recording this podcast, but I think I'm probably gonna get it, especially since it I guess, well, if this will drop on Friday, so it's on sale like in a lot of places for $45 Sunday. So if you listen to this the day it comes out and you're interested in picking it up, hey, it's still on sale at like basically everywhere, I think. Yeah.
Cool.
Patrick.
At least Amazon, so that means everywhere to me.
Patrick, what say you about the Zombie U?
I'd say it's less of a zombie game and more of a survival horror game, which is a good
thing. Now, I'll ask this specifically to Scott, and Mike already knows what my plans are. I think I'm going to start over and play it from the chicken mode.
Oh, you're not in chicken mode.
No.
I went straight to chicken mode.
I think I'm going to play it in chicken mode. Scott, do you think
I didn't even realize there was a chicken mode. Like, when you start the game, does it ask you to do chicken mode?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I just did normal. I don't think less of you. I mean, I'd rather you play the whole thing, but I don't know. I think that difficulty is kind of necessary. I think if you play it easily, you know, it's not like the story is great. I think it is that tension, and if you lessen that, I can tell you this much:
if I go to chicken mode and it's piss easy, I'm probably not going to play anymore.
It's still not
okay. Good.
I've died like 7 or 8 times.
I feel so much better about how many times I died compared to you now. Thank you, Patrick.
Well, did you listen to the podcast when we talked about it with Andy?
No.
He died, like, by the end of the game, he died, like, 60 times. So,
oh yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah.
Did he go and collect his stuff every time?
I don't think every time.
I've had a couple times where I've just lost shit because I'm like, no, I'm not going back there. Fuck that.
I was so angry the one time I died, and then something weird happened where after I died, a cinema took place, and then it booted me back, and it told me to go somewhere else instead.
Oh.
And then my zombie was just gone with, like, a crossbow, an automatic rifle, a sniper rifle.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
But I think I'm going to restart it in chicken mode because I realized that, I mean, I have the kind of, like, it's really, you know, depressing. And then it's also because of how difficult and tense it is that, like, it gives me a feeling that I don't want to go back to. Whereas I think if it was just a little bit easier, I think I would go back to it.
Does chicken mode lessen the number of zombies?
I have no
idea. Just make them easier to kill? Patrick, do you know, or did you just start in chicken mode?
I just started in chicken.
Okay.
I will report back, Scott, because I think
let me know. I'm interested.
I don't really know what the difference is.
If it makes them easier to kill, I guess that would make sense. Especially if you get a few on you, it'd be easier to pick them off.
Or maybe like you don't die as quickly or something like that.
Yeah, maybe you take a few more hits. Yeah, that could be.
I'm excited to check it out now because it kind of renewed interest. Because I've just every now and then I'll look at Zombie U and just be like, I don't know, man. I don't want to cry tonight.
It's so weird too because I just wrote the Game of the Year thing for that. And what's crazy about the game is it's not really like it's scary because of like gore or violence in any way, because the zombies don't even like,
oh no,
it's not like you ever walk upon a zombie and he's like tearing someone apart. Like I'm playing the Walking Dead game now, and like even though the art style is kind of cartoony, like it's still violent and you see characters get like ripped open and eaten.
Yeah.
And you never see that in Zombie U. I mean, you'll get bitten and you'll see some blood, but that's it. So it's not like it's scary in a gory kind of way. It's just tense, and it's just the fact that death is so, I don't know, final in this game, in a way, I guess, and it's so prevalent throughout the experience. It makes it such a tense and foreboding experience. So I don't know.
Yep, yep.
I think it's the absence of action too that really does it. You know, there's such so many stretches where nothing's happening, and then you get a blip on your motion detector,
and then you
poop
yourself,
around, and then
and once you clean yourself up, you go after the zombie.
Yeah, exactly. So.
So the next game, Scribblenauts Unlimited on Wii U. Am I the only person that has played this game?
No, I haven't.
Okay, I really, really enjoyed it. I actually just gave it to my brother for him to play with my niece. And I haven't really talked to him about it, but he posted a picture up on Instagram that I retweeted on Twitter, so you could probably find it, of her with the gamepad in her hand, like, giggling, and apparently she just made a bunch of things in Scribblenauts and then played with them. So that makes
how old is she?
She's 4. I don't think she actually put the words in, because I told my brother, I was like, I don't think she'll be able to play it by herself, but if you play it with her and it's just like, Haley, what do you want to put into the game? You can put in anything.
Yeah. Yeah, Tabby and I have been playing it that way. We don't really do the two-player mode because
it's kind of dumb. Like, it's fun to fuck around with, but it's not actual. Well, there actually were a few times where Lauren and I were playing it where, like, we'd want to do something specific with something, and then I just grab the Wii remote and be like, all right, make it, and then I'll control it.
Yeah, but we'll take turns, like, in levels doing the challenges.
That's exactly what Lauren and I did.
Right, and then, like, work together to solve them, and that's been a lot of fun. And I played a few of the Scribblenauts games, and this is the first that's, like, really made me stick with it. So it's very
damn good. Like, Lauren and I 100%ed it. It's awesome. Then we move to Mighty Switch Force HD, which completely just made me fall in love with this game, despite owning it on 3DS. Like, it got to the point where I beat this game and the bonus ones that were added to the 3DS game. Right now, I'm kind of slowly but surely working myself through the hyper missions, which are really, really hard. But it got to the point where, like, I beat this and then was on a train. It was when I was going to the Zelda concert, and I wound up just beating Mighty Switch Force on my 3DS because I was like, I want to play more of this. This game is so good. I love it. Did anyone else play it?
Only on 3DS.
Okay, so moving on.
I played the first level.
Well, it's on sale now, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's 30% off, so it's $7. I think it's totally worth it. I mean, the art's gorgeous.
I think I actually have that much credit left on my Wii U, because I bought like $75 worth of eShop money, and then I bought Madden with that, so I think I still have 15 left.
Cool.
So I'll have to check that out.
What was I going to say? Little Inferno is the next game on the list, which this is one of our games of the year for the site. We did our 10 favorite games of the year, and this made the list, and I think it's well-deserved. Little Inferno is a hell of a game, even if it's a little short. Am I the only person that played this? Or Scott, you did, right?
Yeah, I played it. And
I played it as well.
Okay, awesome.
Yeah, it's bizarre because it's not, I don't know, I mean, it's sort of like a puzzle game in a way, but it's not much of a game, but still it pulls you in. Like, it's very easy to just all of a sudden have spent an hour
and then,
burning
and, like,
things.
That's what happened to me, is that I was just like, oh, finally play this, and then I played it for an hour and a half.
And it's just so cool because it's such a simple mechanic, but just the world built around it, I think, is what draws you into it. And then trying to figure out the combos, too, of, like, things to burn together, but It's just the presentation, I think, is really what sells it. It's just the world implied around you, you know, beyond your furnace there.
Yeah.
Or your fireplace, I should say. It really just kind of draws you in. And I love the way the game opens up at the end. Not to talk specifically about it, but the ending is very surprising.
Definitely. And the next game on the list is Nintendo Land, which I've kind of cooled off on the single player stuff because it's not as compelling after a little while.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that I've heard a couple people talk about this phenomenon, about how, you know, you introduce it to a group of people and they'll think it's the greatest thing ever, and then you bring it back to that same group of people and they're not as into it. Because I've had that a lot where, like, when I first got it, friends would come over.
Novelty.
New friends, and, like, we'd play it, and we'd play it a lot. It's not like, oh, we'd play a couple rounds and stop. It's like, we'd be playing it for fucking, like, 2 or 3 hours. And just, like, you know, passing the gamepad around, changing up between Animal Crossing,
it's
Luigi's
hard to
Mansion.
Get going, but once you get going, you can just play forever.
But, like, I had a holiday party a week or two ago. Well, I guess, like, 2.5 weeks at this point. Shit, we're already on January 10th. Damn. but I had, probably 15 people over or something like that. And I tried to get some Nintendo Land going, and we just had, like, 3 people wanted to play. And it was just kind of like, really? What the fuck? And it's still fun, and it's still really good, but I'm kind of nervous about the legs of the multiplayer. I kind of hoped that the legs would be more stable, but I'm a little wary.
Yeah, which is kind of surprising, because I think our initial impressions were it was going to outlast Wii Sports because there was so much to do, but, I mean, shit, I remember Wii Bowling for at least a full year after the Wii launch, but I agree with you. I think Nintendo Land, for whatever reason, it does.
You need a large group of friends. It doesn't really work unless you have, like, at least 4 people playing.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With 3 or 2, especially with 2, but with 3, it's just not that good.
Yeah.
Next game on the list is Darksiders 2, which none of us have played, right?
Zach says it's pretty good, I think.
Madden NFL 13, which Scott and I are in an online franchise with Andy, JP, and Nintendad.
And someday we'll eventually get to real games.
Yeah, we're in preseason still, but Madden on Wii U might be my most played Wii U game at this point, or at least it's neck and neck with Nintendo Land. I mean, that's more because I played an entire season with the Packers already.
Wow.
We won the Super Bowl. We went 15-1. It was pretty cool. No big deal.
Who'd you lose to?
The Texans, actually, during the regular season. It was
I will be excited when NCAA comes out for Wii U.
Yeah.
That is my jam. I'm horrible at it. I'm horrible at it. I've only ever bought, like, 2 of them, and I think I, like, returned them or sold them both really quickly, but I think I'm going to try and really, really try and play it, assuming it will come out on Wii U.
Hopefully it will.
Because I think I imagine the controller helps a lot for a thing like a football game.
Definitely. I mean, I really, really love the way it works with the gamepad and how I can just play it on just the gamepad. And I've even had a friend of mine, we started playing one-on-one. He randomly was just like, I think I want to play a football game. I might even get mad. I'm like, you don't even really like football that much. He's like, yeah, but it was just fun. Because it was actually, he's a big SimCity fan. Some of you guys know him, Billy, my friend who's been a photographer for NWR.
We shared a hotel room.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
But he went to an EA Sports event in New York City with Josh Max, who Billy, Josh, and I all went to the same high school, so we all know each other. Because Billy's a huge fan of SimCity, and they wound up playing Madden on Wii U against each other, and this fabulous rivalry broke out. so we're still trying to set up their rematch, but I mean, that's probably why Billy wants to play it. It's because he's like, I'm really interested in this, but in reality, he's just like, I need to fucking beat Josh. But yeah.
The gamepad is cool. It gets me excited for other sports. I know FIFA. I know
FIFA's JP, even
JP's
better.
JP's played that
FIFA
a lot.
Is even better than Madden as far as the use of the gamepad. I mean, I still prefer football, but
they'll figure some more things out for it now that they've got, you know, the first one under their belts. But yeah, I'm mostly excited for NCAA since I'm assuming that Andy will get it, and I mostly just want to play it with him. Because I'm sure we're both not good at it.
Yeah.
I mean, even just simple stuff like when you're lining up on defense and then you see the lineup and then you can sort of like reroute guys right there on the gamepad and like select different guys to, you know, to control rather than having to like press B to cycle through a bunch of guys. You can just click a guy and then you're him. That kind of stuff is cool. So, yeah.
Yep. So the next game on the list is Nanom Assault Neo, which I enjoyed, but kind of got to a point where it got too hard for me, and I kind of stopped. I miss that it's less a story-based game like Nanom Assault was, and more of just a score attack game. And it gets real hard.
In a sense, the Miiverse community helps, though, with that score
attack. Oh, definitely.
Because I just remember reading Guillaume, especially. He was posting tips and tricks and stuff. And that helped me, and I beat a couple of his scores.
And it also seems like there's the... I mean, Guillaume complained about it in his review, that there's this kind of random element to the score stuff where it's like, if you don't get the right multiplier, the right bonus in the beginning, then you're not going to get a high score.
Yeah, you need, like, the multiplier and then the attractor to, like, attract things.
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of like, that's also what kind of turned me off, is that, like, I wasn't beating my high score because... like certain levels, because I would just, you know, I would have gotten that attractor set up in like one of the first ones that I played, and even though I got better at the game, I just couldn't beat that high score, and it just got frustrating. I think there's probably room for patching that, I think. Maybe tuning it a little better or something like that. I don't know. I haven't heard anything official. But, I mean, I like the game. It looks beautiful, and it looks really nice on just the gamepad. Sonic Racing Transformed, if you have not played it, is the best Mario Kart game to come out since Mario Kart Wii. It's also the best single-player kart racing experience I've ever seen. It's real, real good.
For a second there, I thought you were going to say it's the best single-player kart racing game on Wii.
No, no, no. I mean, well, that is true, but there's no competition as far as I can think.
Yeah.
So any other Wii U games that we missed that anyone wants to touch on?
No, I think...
Trine 2 was really good.
Oh, yeah, Trine 2, sure.
I actually got Trine 2, and it's, yeah, I'm not sure how far in I am on it, but it's pretty good. The controls are a little floaty, but I like it.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, are you playing it on the gamepad or are you using the TV?
I've used both.
I think it works a lot better just using the gamepad because of the touch
control. Yeah, I would agree.
Going back and forth is kind of a hassle.
Yeah.
I'm a little offended there's been no mention of Your Shape Fitness Evolved
2013. Oh, do tell.
Where's Funky Barn, guys?
Worked very hard on that
your
review.
Your video review is the best thing to happen with the Wii U launch.
Yeah, if you haven't seen my video review of Your Shape Fitness Evolved, check it out. You can find it on YouTube or NintendoGoldReport.com. It's actually pretty good. All in all, if you are looking for a workout game while waiting for Wii Fit U, you won't go wrong with this. There's a lot of stuff to do, from like crumping and dance cardio to, just regular cardio crumping. Or strength training or yoga or all kinds of nonsense. And I love like just some of those social implementations. Like if you've got friends who play, it'll show you, their progress and then you can like try to beat their score in the workouts they've done, which is pretty cool right from like the main menu. And there's everything's unlocked right from the beginning. There's no like going through lesser routines to get to the more difficult stuff, which is cool. So like you can just jump to what you're comfortable with. The only thing is it just does a terrible job of tracking your progress because it uses the Wii remote to gauge how well you're doing the activities, which as you can guess is just completely inaccurate. So that's the only downside is it's like it will give you a really bad score and you're like doing everything perfectly. So
yeah.
That's a bummer, but if you just ignore that, it's actually a pretty good workout game. So I've been surprised with that.
I'm really excited for Wii Fit U as an aside. Not like the balanced mini games that they have in that at E3, where I think probably outside of Nintendo Land, the coolest things that use the gamepad at E3.
I think the coolest thing is a little pedometer that's gonna come with it. That'll
I mean,
like,
I just,
track your
I just
progress
think,
outside of the game.
I mean, I just think that game will be really fun. I enjoyed the first one, kind of for that same reason that like I used it, you know, used it to do like the little exercises and the yoga and stuff. And then I had a lot of fun with the balance games. Like I got into some competitions with friends where we would do, I think it was a ski jump thing and try to beat our high scores.
The ski jump was fun. Yeah.
So we're going to close this out by talking about two final eShop games that came out at the end of the year. That's Escape Vector from No, which is real, real good. It's kind of best described as sort of like Pac-Man, but like meets Tron on acid or something like that. Unless Tron, you could be construed as being on acid already. I don't know. But there's a ton of content in this game. It's $10. If you like kind of retro stuff like that, it's really, really cool. And it's got this addicting arcade feel to it with online leaderboards that update decently well, kind of on the fly. So, yeah, check this game out. I think it's very, very good. It's hard to explain, though. And the last game, pretty much the last Nintendo release of 2012, was Fluidity Spin Cycle, which, from Curve Studios, the guys who brought you Fluidity. I was kind of disappointed by this game, but it's still really good. It's like $12, so it's pretty pricey. But there's a lot of game in here. This is the kind of game that, like, Nintendo would have released at retail, in all honesty, in, like, you know, the DS or the Game Boy Advance era. But it's a really cool game, and I like the art aesthetic. There is no 3D in this game, which is a little weird, but that's because the whole system is based around tilting it. When you have to tilt it in 360 degrees, though, it sucks. But yeah, I mean, I dug it, but there are sincere issues with this game. Is anybody else even interested in Fluidity Spin Cycle?
I never played the first one, so I don't really have any...
The first one's real cool. It's like kind of like a Metroidvania water game, whereas the second one is level based and it still has those kind of puzzles in it. But it just I like the cohesive world of the first one as opposed to the sporadic levels. Even though some of those levels are crazy adorable and inventive, like one you're launching a rocket. There's like an entire world with dinosaurs in it, which is fun. I like it. But, yeah,
I just don't either. I had no idea what to think about this game. Just following your roller coaster of emotions surrounding it on Twitter.
Yeah, it was kind of like this is like it was crushingly disappointing, and then it got a lot better once the levels kind of like the design got sharper. Because the first world is kind of a joke.
Well, yeah, like your first tweet was basically just like, "I'd rather be blind than play this game," and then it slowly got better.
Yeah. Like it gets a lot better as you get through the game, but it's still. Yeah. I mean, the controls really hamper it.
Right, with the rotating the whole system,
Yep. But yeah, any final thoughts on 2012 as a whole as we wrap this mammoth segment up?
Well, it's funny because we did the first half last week, and I feel like we burnt through it really quick because we did Tyler and Danny's top five before we talked about the first half of the games that came out in 12, and that segment was like maybe an hour.
No
and
I was already came going. Out.
Yeah, and we've been going an hour and a half, and there was just a lot to talk about. And maybe it's because some stuff's recent and some of the later stuff on Wii U we all played, but it seems like 2012 is definitely backloaded, which with a console release year, I guess that's what's
going to
happen.
Yeah, and also that's what happens generally. The fall is packed.
Yeah. I tweeted this, but I wish with the Wii U launch, some of these releases would have been staggered somewhat. Because
totally.
While the launch was so great... It made December seem so empty.
Dude, January, like, what the fuck?
Even now, yeah, you're right. Even continuing into
although,
now.
I mean, because you look at Europe, and, like, they have Ninja Gaiden, I think, came out or is coming out soon. Sing Party was coming out this month. Scribblenauts is coming out at the beginning of February. Like, they really spread it out. And in North America, like, there were a couple of shitty games that came out, like, 2 weeks after the system launched. And other than that, there has been nothing. It's been almost 2 months since a relevant release came out on Wii U.
I'm dangerously close to downloading Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy.
Just like I'm curious, man. That. But like that's kind of fucked up. Like we haven't even gotten a new eShop game since November 18th.
Every week I'm like ready for every week I'm ready for the email. Even this week it was like all that they highlighted was two demos that came out.
Yeah, like that's
for
depressing. And like again, I mean with the 3DS, it took a while for the ball to get rolling, but like, can't you do something? There's nothing.
Yeah, I love that all the third party stuff came right away. That was already on other platforms. But I wish for the exclusive stuff they would have just staggered it a little bit. Because it just at least maybe even stuff on the eShop. Like maybe we didn't need Little Inferno, Trine, and everything. Like right away. Maybe that stuff should have been spread out at least, but. Yeah, it's just like a void now. Up until like what Rayman comes out next month.
Yeah.
That's the next thing. Not even big thing. That's just the next thing. So, but maybe some poor planning there. As much as that launch looked awesome, I think
the launch was pretty fantastic. It's just like I feel like a fool for ever thinking that they might be, you know, they might be worth believing when they're like, we're not going to make it barren. We learned our lesson. It's like, no, you fucking didn't. Like, stop being an asshole. Like, oh, these games are all launch window? Yeah, eat a dick, Nintendo. Come on.
Like, Tokitori was supposed to come out. I know.
Well, they actually, Tokitori, that is completely on the development team. Not saying that, like, oh, you know, they let it slip. Yeah. But, like, I think that game got a lot bigger than they thought it was going to be. So that's, last I heard, that's Q1. And then Zen Pinball, like, that got pushed to January. Who knows what's going on with that? But, like, we haven't even heard anything about, like, games coming out on Wii U in quarter one. Like, retail games. Like, nothing.
Right.
And all this shit that was, oh, the launch window. Like, guess what? Most of the important things are delayed. Like, where's the Wonderful 101? Where's Wii Fit U? Where's Pikmin 3? Oh, wait. Two of those are already guaranteed to be delayed.
Yep.
What about Bayonetta 2?
Bayonetta 2 is not coming out for a while. They've been upfront about that. I think it's loosely...
It'll be out this year, probably.
It's either TBA or 2013. I think it'll... As the predictions I made last week, I think it'll be out in October. I think that's pretty realistic. Unless the Wonderful 101 gets pushed back, in which case I think Bayonetta will be early 2014.
Yeah, so Rayman's next, and then I'm excited for the Aliens
I forgot Rayman. We do have a release date for Rayman.
Yeah, and then I'm excited for the Aliens game, even though that most recent trailer didn't look that great, but I'm still looking forward to it. I know it's
coming out the same day as everything else, which is February 13th, something like that. Cool. If that's coming out for Wii U the same time as everything else, I'll probably get that because I'll be depressed because there will be nothing else to play on my new system.
Yeah, I think, and there's
Is there a release date for LEGO City Stories yet?
Nope. Okay. Nintendo has not said dick about their Q1 lineup for Wii U. 3DS is mapped out. Like, we know what's going on with that. They ignored January.
LEGO's got to be coming out soon because they're advertising it. Like, if I buy a game, there's an advertisement for it in that box.
Yeah. Well, guess what?
Yeah, was that maybe supposed to be a launch game? And then
it was supposed to be, I think, a December game, and it got pushed back.
Okay, because, it is in everything. It's very heavily advertised for a game that's not even confirmed for when it's coming out yet.
It's Q1.
Are they giving out the pre-order bonuses already?
We're getting to a point where we're halfway through January. That means we're a sixth of the way through Q1, and they're not going to, like, announce this March 1st. So, like, if we don't hear anything about LEGO City Undercover in, like, the next couple weeks, like, that shit ain't coming out in March. If it
is, the summer game. It's probably the summer game.
Then, like, what about Pikmin? Like, what the hell? Like, do they have, like...
I think they'll use Pikmin and LEGO to bookend the summer.
I mean, it's just, like, there's nothing in Q1, and I get, like, there's not usually anything, but there, like, we had a better Wii lineup in Q1 last year. We had a really good Wii lineup. Rhythm Heaven and fucking Mario Party 9, like, that's awesome. I mean, that was all that came out on Wii all year, but...
Well, Xenoblade.
Yeah, which I guess...
That was April.
Ostensibly, but... almost a Q1 game. But, like, it's awful. It sucks. Like, and granted, like, I mean, I played a ton of Wii U, and I know people are probably still enjoying their launch games, and I had the fortunate slash unfortunate thing of having to burn through a lot of them quickly for reviews. But, like, really, it's like, I haven't... Outside of playing in our Madden League, like, I'm not really playing my Wii U anymore.
Nope, I use it to watch Hulu and Netflix, and
I'm playing my PlayStation 3 more than my brand new Wii U. I'm playing NBA Jam.
Yep.
That's free. I downloaded Mega Man 9 and 10. I'll probably play them just for the hell of it.
That's what I got to do this week.
Dude, PlayStation Plus is the gift that keeps on giving.
That's $50.
I might burn through BioShock 2 one of these days, and I'm playing The Last Story, so I am playing something on my Wii U, but that's about it.
A Wii game in Wii mode,
which is less janky than I thought it would be. I finally transferred all my stuff over there.
You know, when people on your friends list and are online, but it just shows a question mark, are they in Wii mode? Is that what that means?
I think that might be like they're playing a game that you haven't looked at all, because I noticed when Andy was playing Zombie U, when like he was reviewing it and burning through it, he would come up as a question mark until I put Zombie U into my system and downloaded that first update.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
So that they are probably playing a game that is an online game that they would have to download an update, and you haven't downloaded that update. And then Alex had it for Assassin's Creed when he was playing that for review.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Well, maybe that's changed now. Maybe yeah. even just a system update changed that, because I don't think I see the question marks as much anymore. But
yeah, I mean, beating a dead horse, but Wii U Q1 is looking barren. I mean, like, Rayman, don't get me wrong, Rayman looks so awesome. But, like,
it's gonna be so
that
good.
Is that, and Aliens isn't even confirmed for when it's coming out. Like, that Rayman is literally the only Wii U game that we know of for certain that is coming out in the next 3 months.
I wonder if that got pushed back to kind of make things less empty now, because that was supposed to be a launch game.
So. I believe the company line that was delayed because they needed to finish it up, because that was a tight development schedule.
I guess. It was weird that was in the Wii U demo stations, too. You know? I don't know. Just very bizarre. But 2012, it got better.
Yeah.
Good year at the end.
Good
obviously.
Year for 3DS.
Pretty strong.
Yeah.
And the Wii U launch was good. I mean, it's just looking ahead. Like, it's not that I'm, like, nervous about the Wii U like I am the Vita, because, like, the Vita.
I
really like the Vita a whole lot. It's just that, like, I'm terrified that the system won't have many games ever.
You're terrified what? That the Vita won't have many games?
The Vita. The Wii U will be fine. It's just that, like, I'm annoyed right now because I want some kind of definitive, like, this game is coming out when.
I mean, shit, if Nintendo could make the Wii last 6 years and released some really great games, there's no excuse for the Wii U to not, you know, between third parties, now being able to port their games over to the Wii U and then original content, too, so.
So, yeah, that is a long-winded that Nintendo year. We will never do another one like this until probably the end of 2013. So, we will always keep them Nintendo
year.
Published.
Yep.
All right, later.
Peace.
Bye.
See ya.
Hey everybody, Alex here, and I am with my fellow Pokemon fan, Josh Max.
I prefer to think of us as Poke Fanatics.
I agree, and I have been eagerly anticipating this day like Christmas, because, as Josh knows, today came the announcements of Pokemon X and Pokemon Y.
Yeah, and I just want to say straight off the bat, I like it. I like how they are moving away from the colors. I don't know, just X and Y, though, it feels... cool. I don't know. I mean, I hope it doesn't become a gender thing.
So, I think coming away from this, I have two major feelings about this. I guess if you don't know what this is, there's the trailer, there's the Pokemon Direct. I put up an article this morning. There's all the information you need. Two things to take away from this. The first is that the graphics jump... it's basically like we went two generations ahead. Like, they just skipped the sixth generation and went straight to the seventh.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. I mean, I really love, from what we've seen so far. I mean, hopefully that's not the cream of the crop. Hopefully that's just, you know, some middle gameplay shots, and we get, you know, a lot better in there as well. Because, so, I don't know, this may be something that could just blow us away.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, as a Pokemon fan who clearly listens to podcasts from time to time, I'm sure you hear a lot of shit where people say, like, oh, I wish they would just make a console RPG Pokemon already, and they just moved away from the handheld.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they did it with Fire Emblem, so
they
everyone's now going, why not Pokemon?
Except on the 3DS.
And the Fire Emblem ones were, like, great.
They were great, and the graphics didn't matter on those.
I don't know. Maybe it was just me.
And, it's... so everyone wanted this console RPG to provide the ultimate Pokemon experience, and they're finally giving us it while putting it on handheld. So they're basically satisfying both parties at the same time.
Oh, yeah. And I'm really excited about this, because, everyone's been saying that, you know, ever since Fire Emblem made the jump from handheld to, you know, the Wii...
right.
Everyone's been, you know, crying out for Pokemon to follow it. They're like, oh, well, Fire Emblem was amazing. Why not do that with Pokemon? You'd still do it you know, just as much of an content. And you know what? I've always been happy with it being a handheld game. I think that's where it belongs. I've played some of the ones on the main consoles. And I don't know. I mean, they're good. I just like the... I think that they stand out more as handhelds. And I think that this game will... can have... this game has the potential to be the penultimate Pokemon experience we've been waiting for.
Oh, yeah. Like, especially with the battles now, how they're not like these disgusting sprites that are moving and like you can see the blocky. Now it's like Pokemon Stadium, but cel-shaded.
Hey, 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 I like the sprites sometimes.
Wait, no, I'm talking about Generation 5, where they where they were moving and you could see the pixels and stuff.
Yeah.
And they were kind of gross.
I don't know how I felt about that.
Fanboy.
I don't know how I felt about it, I'm sorry.
Oh yeah. So the other thing I'm coming away from this announcement with is a little bit of caution, because there were some things about the trailer which make me just a tiny bit worried, like how this is the second shortest gap between generations, not counting the jump between the second and third, and this is looks way better than every single Pokemon game that has ever come out. So part of me is a little scared that they could skimp on content or something.
I mean, I was expecting this to be a remake of Ruby and Sapphire.
Yeah.
And then last night, somebody posted on some weird forum site. I got forwarded it, and it was essentially this, except they said there would be three versions released at the same time. They said it's going to be fully 3D rendered. It's going to be a new storyline. The storyline's not going to be, it's not going to be as based on story as the previous games.
Oh, the Pokemon space thing.
No.
The space colony with the digital Eevee.
Oh, yeah, there was that. It wasn't a digital space colony. It wasn't a space colony, but there was a digital Eevee.
Yeah. I read that thing.
Yeah.
I actually love the rumors of this. Like, it's generating, and there's the crazy stuff like Pokemon Rainbow, where it would be four generations in one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
I mean, like, I read that and I'm like, you know what? I would totally, I read it and I realized I would totally be okay with the story being a little less, like them sacrificing a little bit of story for what we're getting visually. Because there's also been rumors flying around that this is going to be more of a free roaming thing. Like, there will be boss, there will be gym leaders, there will be an evil team. But it will be more free roaming than any other Pokemon game before. There won't be a set. It won't be as linear.
And like, I think, like, proof of that already is that if you notice the way the characters are moving, because it's not really a sprite anymore, it's a model.
Yeah.
If you notice how they're moving, it's not a grid anymore. It's free 3D movement.
And that's what's exciting about this is, and you know what? I know that I personally would sacrifice some things for all this. And I know that everyone else is going to be willing to do that too. Where I'm hoping that they don't. Because after Black and White, they showed, hey, we have the ability to make a great game overall. Like, we have a great story, we have a great gameplay, we have great everything. We can reinvent Pokemon if we wanted to.
And then they did it again, apparently, for the sixth generation.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, Pokemon, we're still going to get, you know, three starters. Fire, water, and grass. Mm-hmm. And we're going to, you know, I'm sure it's still going to be, you can get 150 at first, and I'm sure it's still going to be a Pokedex and Pokeballs and all that stuff. And you're going to get what you usually get, but it also, you know, it looks like they're innovating too. Like, this is a whole new Pokemon, and it looks incredible.
And I'm also kind of glad that they're doing a new Pokemon game before they do the Ruby and Sapphire remakes. Because while I thought it would look cool for Ruby and Sapphire to be on the Generation 5 Black and White engine, I think Ruby and Sapphire is going to be like a whole new game when it goes on the Pokemon X and Y fully 3D graphics.
Yeah.
Like, I can wait a couple years for that.
I might even buy the Ruby and Sapphire remake if it looks like this.
You might?
I might.
Would you ever consider not buying it?
Yes, because, like, I hate Ruby and Sapphire. We've been over this.
You don't hate it. You just like it the least.
Okay, it's true. I don't hate it. Well, I dislike it.
Really?
Yeah. Well, that's another podcast for another time. But I do want to ask, if I may,
yeah, sure.
Ask, which starter are you going to go with? Are you going to go with
Chespin,
the grass squirrel, Fennekin, the fire fox, or Froakie, the water frog thing that kind of looks like he has a mustache?
It's weird for me. I think these starters are pretty much the best they've been since Gold and Silver. Not to say that any of the other ones were bad, but I think these are the best since then. I think Froakie looks awesome. I think he's the best-looking frog Pokemon we've had. I think Fennekin, I kind of like him better than Vulpix. Chespin is just whatever. I could give or take Chespin.
All I know is that I'm going with Fennekin. I know this.
I'm going with Froakie.
I'm going with Fennekin. That's Fennekin's going to win.
Well, you got the fire type.
Yeah, well, I mean, look at her. She's adorable.
Yeah, but I mean, actually, you know what? The interesting thing about this, I guess this sort of loops with it, is that the battle sequences with all three of the starter Pokemon.
Yeah.
Fennekin was using some kind of psychic move, I noticed.
Yeah, I saw that. I was very excited.
While Froakie was using a move that kind of looked like close combat.
Yeah, something like
so
that.
So I'm wondering if they'll have it be like, Froakie's got water over Fennekin, but Fennekin's got the psychic, and Froakie's has psychic as its secondary type. So it'll be sort of a back and forth thing.
Yeah, that would be really cool. And Chespin's just grass.
Chespin's garbage.
Oh no, Chespin would be grass and fighting.
Oh, well no.
Or no,
it,
dark.
It's still
grass
garbage.
And dark, I'm sorry. Like kind of a shift tree kind of thing. That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Yeah. It would definitely be a good upset to the traditional three types and that's it.
Well, I mean, except for the fire fighting thing.
Isn't that like three generations going?
Yeah,
now?
That's what I'm saying. Like, it was firefighting and Charizard was it dragon or was it flying?
He and Typhlosion were fire only, and then the next three were firefighting, I think.
No. Charizard is something else too.
Flying.
Yeah, that's it. Flying.
Flying.
I'm like, cause he's not really a dragon type, but he knows dragon, right? Whatever.
Yeah. So a few other things I picked up from the trailer. The architecture, the towns, they look like they're evolving too. Because of the different camera angle, these towns look like real towns and cities, and you can like see them from afar now, out of the root.
Yeah, and I mean they played around with that a little bit in Black and White, and with different camera angles.
With like when you cross Stelia City.
Yeah, when you're crossing the bridge and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And it worked, and I think that was them kind of feeling out the waters.
And did you pick up the rollerblades while he was going through that Paris-like city?
Yup, looking at the picture right now, actually.
Yeah. The character models. Did you play Dragon Quest IX?
Yes, I did. I really enjoyed
it. Don't the models remind you exactly of Dragon Quest IX and make you maybe think that there might be a character customization shimmied in?
I'd never thought that, but that would make me really happy.
Well, yeah.
Like, even if it's just, like, whatchamacallit? Like, even if it's just, like, you have one of three hats, you have one of three shirts, you have one of three pants. Like, I would still or you have one of four haircuts, I would still be over the moon. And, there, you know, Nintendo was very upfront about saying, this is, everyone's going to get this on the same day, which is awesome.
I don't know if it's going to be the same day. I think it's going to be the same month, and they'll try to play around with it. Because I'm pretty sure that Japan, North America, and Europe all released games on different days.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, with Japan and, with Japan and North America, I think it can be the same day. With Europe, I think it has to be within the same, I think it can be within the same week. And with Australia, here's hoping it's in the same month.
And then Poke Beach, the fan site, they're pretty good.
Yeah.
They posted that apparently this simultaneous release thing has been in the works for 7 years.
No, I'll believe that.
Yeah, I think it's cool. Not only because we won't have to wait 6 months or even 3 months like with Black and White 2, but now there won't be 6 months where we have to avoid spoilers.
Yeah.
Now we'll just get it within a week or two, which is really great.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's like, you know, since everyone's getting this on the same day, Nintendo is very upfront about being like, this is where everyone's going to play it together. And that leads me to thinking there's going to be some customization because they're not just going to say, hey, everyone, play with everyone else who looks exactly like you. Go to the global trading system where everyone's asking for a Mewtwo for a Rattata. Like, it sounds like there's going to be a whole nother level to this because, like, with Pokemon Dream World, where you actually kind of interact with other people, you know, you went to their dream homes and traded stuff and what are their plans. It sounds like you might get an experience like that on your actual system.
I definitely think they're getting ready for an evolution of, like, the whole internet infrastructure in the games.
Yeah.
Especially when it opened with that awesome Pikachu animation, and then you saw, like, on top of that Eiffel Tower thing, it was, like, all these beams going across the world.
Yeah, and I agree. I think this they're gearing up for something big.
The other thing, just one last thing I think we should talk about, are the new legendary Pokemon, the guys that are clearly going to be the mascots. There's that bird, like, flying giant thing that that is shaped like the Y,
yeah,
which looks really cool. And then there's the awesome elk forest god.
Yeah.
The X on its face.
A little Miyazaki over there.
Yeah. I was thinking Princess Mononoke as soon as I saw it. Has that changed which version you think you're going to get?
I mean, I didn't really know the difference, but I guess I'm going to go for Y?
Why is going to be the flying thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
almost guarantee.
I mean, really, what it comes down to is the version-exclusive Pokemon. That's what it always comes down to. And, I mean, right now, out of those two, I kind of want the flying guy, just because he looks like a badass. But, I mean, I could change, because with like with Black and White, what determined it was Magmar and Electabuzz. That's what it all came down to me. I was like, who do I want more? And I said, oh, I'm going to want Electabuzz, obviously, because I'm going to have a fire starter. And that was it. That was the whole deciding factor for me.
And then the funny thing was, in the pre-release Black and White, when you saw Zekrom, which was black, and Reshiram, which was white, you thought, oh, Reshiram's going to be white version, and Zekrom's going to be black version. But they totally switched it.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
And then I just kind of... And this is also one last thing. Maybe you'll appreciate.
Yeah.
I know that you. I'm not even assuming. I just know that you did the whole upload your completed game from Black or White 2 from Black and White into Black or White 2, and then there are the flashbacks and they talk about your first character.
Yeah.
Well, I named myself Josh in just about every one, and so when the flashbacks came, I'm like, are they talking about me now, or are they talking about me in the past? And I hated that. So in this new one, I know I'm going to be naming myself something different for the first time in 5 generations.
And I think that just speaks to how great it is that we're going to be getting something new, because it's not going to be 9 Pokemon games on one system anymore. This is the first game. It's totally new, and we have no idea what to expect.
Yeah, and I'm excited about that.
I am too. So I think that wraps it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks for joining me, Josh.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, and I'll see you fine folks later.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget you can send your listener mail questions to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And if you're interested, now we've got a little bit of a bonus segment. We're going to do a little discussion on the classic game Lego Island. Let's go.
welcome to this segment of Connectivity. I'm Scott Thompson. Today, I am with Zach Kaplan.
Lego.
And Don Koopman.
Lego.
And if you haven't guessed so far, you must be deaf, because we are talking about Lego games.
Woo!
We've got the recent announcement of the upcoming Lego Marvel game, and then, of course, there's the upcoming Wii U, Lego...
City Undercover.
Lego City Undercover. I always forget that name. Lego City Undercover.
How can you forget that name?
I keep getting it mixed up, because they call it something else the first
Lego
time.
Lego City Stories, like Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, so I keep thinking that, and then I know it's not that, and then I just completely forget. So, Lego City Undercover, we've got those games coming up. And I thought it might be fun to talk about Lego. These two, Don and Zach, have played a lot of very old Lego games, whereas I played some of the more recent ones. So we're going to talk a little bit about everything. The very first Lego game was Lego Island from 1997, and Zach and Don have both played it. Don played it this morning. So why don't you guys talk about that a little bit?
Geez, where should we start?
Well, what is it exactly? Because I don't even know.
It's an open world island where only 3 people live on the... Well, like 100 people live on the island, but there's only like 3 homes. Which, I don't know. But anyways, and...
they fixed that in the sequel.
They did?
Yeah.
See, the only old Lego game I played was Lego Island, but I played the shit out of that.
I just love the characters on that island.
The Brickster. And they assume, I think the people, the Lego group, when they were developing the game, or whoever developed it, they assume that all children have dyslexia.
Wait, why?
Because to actually initiate the real story of the game, you have to play as this pizza delivery dude. The dude with the food! And,
Pepperoni.
Yeah. Yeah, whatever his name is. And,
no, really, his name is Pepper, and then, then Mark, and then Roni.
And so to initiate the story part of the game, you have to deliver a pizza to the jail cell where the Brickster is, because apparently you can order pizza from jail. And the kid can't read it correctly, because there's a sign that says, like, do not open or something like that, but he can't read it because it's all mixed up. No letters are jumbled, so he lets him
out. It says, like, P-I-S-A-Z.
Yeah, it's something weird.
But when you first start the game, you get introduced to this character called the Infomaniac, who is this eccentric old guy in the information center, and he guides yourself through the island, gives you information, you sign up, and then you start to do all the different missions across the island. So one of them is the pizza delivery. Another one is where you have to act as a hospital guy and pick up people up with the ambulance.
Oh, okay.
It seems very regular scenarios, but then they put the Lego humor on top of it. It's the first time they actually put Lego on top of humor atop of Lego. Jeez, I'm struggling over my words there. But that makes it so fun, because you have these characters over all their very special, you could say, very special personalities.
Yeah.
So you have, for example, this guy called Bill Ding. and he always says when he comes in, I'm Bill Ding, and you're Bill Ding. And then he basically sits you with all the building stuff, like vehicle stuff in the game. So you build like a race car, and he comes in and do his little stand-up routine, and then you go ahead and build. And you can also actually race in that car and participate in various race events, which are also kind of crazy because they go to a separate universe to go and play them.
Yeah, that never made any sense. Nothing in the game really makes sense, but...
And now, is it like an open world game? I mean, you're just running around and like...
Open world as to the extent a 1997 PC kids game would be.
Sure.
Yeah.
Huh. Now, Zach, how old are you?
I am 15.
15. So how did you play this game? Like, because this came out when you were born?
Yeah.
Well, Jesus.
My brother got it for his birthday, so then one year, and then when I grew up, I started playing it, and I played this like up until fourth grade, maybe.
Okay. So it was just a game like your family just kind of had around the house that you
yeah,
eventually
played. Yeah, so I played,
played
it
yeah.
a lot. Huh. Played this and Walt Disney World Explorer. Look it okay. up. It's a good game.
Yeah,
it's not a game, but it's
No, I know. Mike Sklens would probably have something to say about that game. If he's editing this, so he's probably right now shaking his head or nodding in agreement or I don't know. That game's bad, right? Or is it any good?
Well, it's that's a different story.
Okay, I thought so.
How about that? A bonus segment some other time.
Sure. I'm sure Mike would love to do that. But now the upcoming LEGO game, is it tied to this universe at all?
I don't think so.
No.
Okay. I didn't think so either. But it was a sequel to this game.
Yeah, it was a sequel to this game. It was more of an adventure game, basically. So it sets up the same. This time you're only one character. You are Pepper. In the original, you can play. You are like police persons. You are like the pizza makers, and you were Pepper. In the sequel, you could only play as Pepper. And the story turns around him as he delivers a pizza to Brickster again, who breaks out of cell. And destroys the entirety of LEGO Island by taking all of the bricks of all the houses and scattering information, the blueprints of those houses around different areas of the LEGO world.
Hmm.
That game was on the Game Boy Color and the PlayStation 1 too, besides the PC.
The sequel?
Yeah, and it was on the Game Boy Advance.
Oh wow, yeah, look at that. You're right.
I never played it on the Nintendo system though, I only played it on PC. And maybe that was also the best experience of those. I never played it on the system, so I can't really compare.
PC Master Race.
Yes. But the first world you enter after LEGO Island is this medieval battle arena, and the bridge is destroyed, so the two opposing camps can't fight each other anymore, and all hilarity will ensue.
Now, are there any elements from LEGO Island that have like carried over to the recent LEGO games? Are they in any way, would you say, even comparable, or just not at all?
I don't think they ever went back to that kind of type of game, actually, which is kind of disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe in some way or fashion, you will see something back of it in the upcoming LEGO game. Because, to be frank, they haven't done an open-world game again in forever.
Yeah.
Well, wasn't LEGO Batman 2 kind of open-world?
It was quasi-open-world, kind of,
but it kind of wasn't.
So yeah. Is it worth just getting on the 3DS and skipping the open world? Or?
Oh, you haven't played it? No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, I haven't played the 3DS version, so...
Is this like the same thing, but just no open-world Gotham?
But the open-world Gotham is kind of fun. Like, I mean, there's a lot of exploring to do, and that's where you unlock all the extra, like, characters, and you can find things.
Yeah.
But there's no, like... You don't get, like, missions, necessarily, like, while going around the open-world stuff. So it's not a necessity,
a sandbox.
Yeah, I mean, it is, but it's not like there's... Much
it's a
to
limited
be there.
Sandbox.
Yeah, I would say that, but it's still pretty cool. But I guess you could probably survive without it, as long as the 3DS version has all the voice acting. That's the most important part.
Yeah, it does. So.
Okay, good, because that the voice acting's so good. It's so funny.
That's why they made it in the Blu-ray movie.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's what Neil was telling me last time I brought that game up. Yeah, they're basing a whole movie off of it. So.
So it's just basically putting them the cutscenes on a disc.
Pretty much.
That's not the first LEGO movie. They did a LEGO Star Wars movie, like with talking. It was
really?
Called LEGO Star Wars: The Padawan Menace.
Hmm.
Huh.
And then they did LEGO Star Wars: The Empire Strikes.
But let's be really honest here. Everything with Star Wars flies these days.
Everything flies. Yeah, that's true. I guess
it's awesome.
Because it's awesome. Yeah, Zach, we still have to have our bonus segment about your favorite Star Wars movies, because That is a discussion to have, but not
so
right now.
So, back to LEGO games. Do you mind if I go down this list of other releases? Well,
yeah, I was going to say, like, I just earlier
just
today...
Quickly.
Yeah, that's fine, but I just wanted to preface it. Earlier today, I was like, okay, we're going to talk LEGO, so let me look at the list of LEGO games. And I knew you guys wanted to talk about LEGO Island. I was like, but after LEGO Island, there can't be too much more until you get to, like, Star Wars and all the, like, the recent popular games. I was like, there's probably a few Bionicle games or something, but looking at this list... There are a ton of games. So go ahead, Zach. Why don't you read some off?
All right. So there, 1998, we got LEGO Chess, which I assume was playing chess.
I think so. Yeah. It was more interesting, though, because LEGO Chess, it was actually different types of sets based on different types of LEGO characters. So we have you had these various animations of, like, the Indians and, like, the cowboys and pirates and what have you.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking at that now. Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, the 90s was, like, the premier time to have, you know, IP-themed chess games. Like, I remember Star Wars Chess I really loved.
Hercules Chess.
Hercules Chess, there you go. Hmm. Yeah, that was very, very popular in the 90s. This seems like a game you would get, like, in a box of cereal. Or maybe in a LEGO set. I don't know. Okay, yeah. So
don't
what was that for LEGO Chess?
Insult my childhood.
I'm not. Just saying.
All right, so after LEGO Chess, we got LEGO Creator, mm-hmm. and then the weirdly named LEGO Loco, which I assume is about a LEGO addict, maybe, with that name?
It was a virtual world based around trains.
Yeah, I just pulled it up. Here we go.
Oh, locomotion. I thought it was, like, crazy.
I'll read you the description here. LEGO Loco is a LEGO-branded children's computer game for the Microsoft Windows platform.
Have to say that?
Yes, it is a simple open-ended construction game with a slight emphasis on rail transport. The aim of the game is to construct a town in which LEGO people can live. So it's almost like SimCity, it sounds like.
Yeah, it's a bit like SimCity.
Yeah. So, yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Then there was LEGO Friends in 1999. Then,
which I can only assume is the first, it predates LEGO Star Wars. I think this was a LEGO game based on the television show Friends, if I'm not mistaken.
No.
It's LEGO Ross, LEGO Rachel, won't they?
I can only remember it was about this fictional town. I never played it. I think it was more towards females.
Well, Wikipedia classifies it as an educational game, so that might be right.
Then there was, what, for the men playing on their computers to learn about females?
No, I just don't think men like to learn.
Oh, then next was LEGO Racers.
Heck yeah, LEGO Racers.
I've heard good and bad things about that one.
And this actually came to a bunch of platforms apart from
PC. Do you guys
this...
know it's made by Highfolded Shuffer?
Oh, really? Yeah. No, I didn't know that.
The Conduit. The game nobody played, except me.
I think a lot of people played Conduit. I think a
no
lot of people didn't
Conduit
play this
too.
Exactly. Not a lot of people put the sequel.
Or Captain America.
But that's next to LEGO Island. That's the series I have the most memories of because it also had a story, this versus battle where you make your own character against this evil character. And then, you fight all these crazy made tracks based on LEGO universes. It was quite fun to play, actually. Hmm. I don't think the first one really holds up after all this time.
Sure.
The second one kind of does. Kind of.
Well, I think it's important to point out, too, this is the first that came to a platform besides PC. Apart from the PC, it also came to the PlayStation, N64, and Game Boy Color, of all things.
I never played it on Game Boy Color. I played it on PC and N64. And the last time I played was, I think, on N64.
Oh, okay.
It was alright. I mean, if you go back to it now, the type of power-ups they had were very basic.
Mm-hmm.
They had all bricks.
Well, they were very basic, like shields. There was, like, I think a speed boost. There were mines.
But they all came in bricks.
Yeah, but they weren't very special in terms of making your opponent suffer.
Or but couldn't you very combine them?
You could level them up to level 3, but most of them I didn't find too effective, except for the speed boosts, really. I think the second one really fixed that and made the customization of it also really better.
Well, I'm not going to go through all of these, but I just wanted to mention LEGO Rock Raiders, because I assume that's a sexual education game.
Rock Raiders was based on another series of LEGOs, which were
in early
2000s. Because, you know, just before the 2000s, everything was very hyper-dimensional, because almost it was the year 2000. And then they made Rock Raiders for some reason, I don't know.
Well, eventually they made LEGO Extreme something.
Yeah, but LEGO Raiders was an interesting game because it was an RTS, actually.
Ooh.
It was an It was an RTS released on PlayStation.
Don't tell South Korea, because then they'll steal the game and make it into a sport.
Get really good at it.
Yeah.
That's not a bad idea. I'm going to contact them right now.
That's the new upcoming eSport that everyone's going to love. Yeah. It is kind of interesting to look at this, because I feel like right now LEGO games are kind of, and not necessarily that it's a bad thing, but they are pretty much all of the same genre, third-person action-adventure. But seeing this, it was like they were just taking whatever genre was sort of popular at the time and then just applying LEGO to it and shipping it off.
Yeah, if you go to the next one, actually, or one later on this list, LEGO Land was a bit similar to Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Oh, okay. Oh, like you built like a theme park. Okay.
Yeah, but it was more child friendly, and it didn't have like the same terrible results if all shit went wrong.
Sure.
But just fun.
Also worth noting was before LEGO Harry Potter years 1 through 4, there was LEGO Creator Harry Potter.
Oh yeah.
So that was their first license, like a outside license, if I'm not mistaken.
It looks like it. Yeah, I mean, there was a Bionicle game before it, but that's still
LEGO's brand. That's a LEGO.
Yeah, so, yeah, I think that is the first there. Now, did you play that at all, Zach?
Nope.
Okay.
My brother had got, one Christmas, he got, like, all the LEGO Harry Potter sets. Okay. And I remember looking in the construction manuals, I remember there was, like, an advertisement for that game,
sure,
and everyone.
Sure.
So I always wanted it. But.
Yeah, that was 2001, and Wikipedia labels it as a construction and management simulation, which I don't even know what that... I mean, I don't even know what that would be. I guess you just build worlds and build things from the Harry Potter universe, I guess.
I think I have a CD for it lying around here, but...
really?
I haven't touched it in, like... Jeez. And when? I don't know how long.
Well, probably a long time.
Since we're on a limited time schedule, do we want to skip to the most important LEGO game? Well, I wouldn't say the most important, but the one that really defined what the current day LEGO games are.
And LEGO being LEGO Star Wars, I assume?
LEGO Star Wars.
Yeah, but because that was 2001, the first LEGO Harry Potter game, the creation one. And yeah, and then like over the next 5 years, they do release a bunch of different LEGO games. A sequel to LEGO Island, which you guys talked about, and a bunch of other stuff. But yeah, LEGO Star Wars, I think, kind of came out of nowhere. And you're right, definitely defines what we think of now as LEGO games.
I love the fact that, like, if you like the prequels, it took place in Dex's Diner from episode 2. Which was so awesome because they didn't have the cantina, which is obviously kind of cooler. But yeah. Even from someone who likes the prequels, I can admit that. But what the cool thing about LEGO Star Wars was that it was just really funny while still telling the story of the 3 movies. That was what made it so unique. And that was all done in LEGO.
Right, yeah. Just that conviction to theme where everything was made of LEGO and things would just bust apart when you hit them with a lightsaber or a blaster. And the amount of playable characters, too, you know? I mean, just the fact that you
free
can pretty much...
Free play mode?
Yeah, you can pretty much play as anyone. I mean, any character that you like from the
Star
Wars
universe. Can I say something honest? I never played LEGO Star Wars.
Really?
No.
Shame.
That was the time I still was in denial about buying any of those games.
The LEGO games?
No, those third-person action games.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, I actually didn't own it, but a friend did, and we played a ton of it together. Because the cooperative mode was really great as well.
I didn't step in the fray until the 2008 game LEGO Batman.
Oh, okay. Yeah, which we're getting to. They kind of milked LEGO Star Wars for a while after that. So they did the prequel trilogy first. Then they went back into the original trilogy, and then they combined the two into one super game, I guess.
With some bonus levels.
Right, yeah, with some bonus stuff. And then after that, that's when they started to branch out, and then next came Lego Batman.
Yep.
So let's see. So the original Lego Star Wars was 2005, and then they did the original trilogy in 2006, the complete saga in 2007, and then in 2008 there was, yeah, Batman and Indiana Jones.
Yeah, yeah.
Indiana Jones was a weird choice. It doesn't seem like a series begging for this kind of treatment.
Especially since it only has one good movie.
Ooh, oh. Look at you, Zach.
It's not Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I'm not that stupid.
Okay, I was going to say, you were going to make a lot of enemies.
No, I think The Last Crusade's the best one with Sean Connery. Yes, I'm Sean Connery.
Well, that's the one that is in the original Adventures one, so the 2008 one is actually superior, which is unsurprisingly. I didn't like the Lego Indiana Jones 2 in 2009 because it was basically based on the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Yeah, which is no good for anybody.
And also they had added some terrible modes in that game as well.
Yeah.
So, the original is still my favorite of those two.
Yeah, the original was better. It's still just a weird choice. I mean, as much as we're talking about, like, how the Star Wars games were great for all the locales and all the characters you could play as, like, Indiana Jones, I don't think is as... I mean, maybe locations, but definitely not necessarily characters. At least not as many. So, I thought it was weird, a very weird choice.
Yeah.
Back during the music game craze in 2009, we got Lego Rock Band. Either of you played that?
I just transported all my Lego Rock Band songs to Rock Band Blitz.
Exactly, yeah.
I actually played the DS version, which is basically like Rock Band unplugged on the PSP.
Mm.
Not too bad. Not a huge fan of the music choices in that game. A lot of really poppy stuff, but...
Right, because it was for kids. The one cool thing about it was that you could import all the songs into regular Rock Band. So even if you like just the songs... And not necessarily the Lego aesthetic, then you could still, you could still just bring over all the songs. But it was all a lot of popular music at the time, which is fine. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But yeah, this was a surprising one for me when this was announced. Lego Rock Band, and then next came Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Which I thought was really good, actually.
They revived the Lego Harry Potter brand because they had done the sets before, but they hadn't been doing them for a couple of years at that point, if I'm not mistaken. But they brought it back for the game.
Right, the actual Lego set you're saying. Yeah, I think after once the movies got a little further down the road and they weren't necessarily
darker.
Exactly, they weren't kids anymore so much, then yeah, I think they got away from that. But this definitely did rejuvenate that. And, yeah, this was very fun. This is probably the first of these LEGO games that I played, like, completely on my own. Like, I bought and played all the way through. And it was very good.
I feel like around this time, they started focusing more on the games, and the LEGO group did. Like, they would choose sets to make based on what would make a good video game. Because LEGO Pirates of the Caribbean, which came out last year or 2 years ago now, they didn't have any sets until this game came out, Lego Pirates.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it was fun, but I'm just saying, sets-wise, it wasn't really as true to the Lego brand because it was more doing it just to make a game.
Right, right. It didn't evolve from the Legos themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or the Lego themselves.
Yes.
I put an S on that. You specifically told us before recording, Lego is plural and singular. Do not say Legos.
Yes.
So I apologize.
You will be forgiven. In time.
In time. and then a few games here that I didn't even know existed. Lego Universe.
Oh,
and
I the only time I played that was at Gamescom.
It was an MMO, apparently.
Yeah. And the people out there were hyped about it. They were hyped.
Really?
Yeah. Like, try out this new Lego product. Oh, is it another... third person game. No, it's a MMORPG. I was like, okay, I'm going to test this out. After 3 minutes, I was already confused and walked away.
So no, don't know if it was good or bad necessarily.
Well, the game was only available in German and English, and it only existed from October October 26, 2010 to the 30th January 2012.
Oh god, okay, so that explains why I don't really know about it.
Still not as bad as Family Guy Online.
It's not as bad as Family Guy Back to the Multiverse.
I don't think anyone played that.
That's a recently released game. Nobody should play it.
And then there were a few more LEGO games. LEGO Battles Ninjago,
Ninjago.
Ninjago, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. You just tricking me?
No.
Okay.
I see the advertisements for it because there's a cartoon on Cartoon Network. And I watch Cartoon Network for the Clone Wars.
Oh, okay.
Believe there it or go. Not.
I believe it.
I believe it, sadly.
And then there was a LEGO Creationary, which was apparently a puzzle game. I did not know that existed either.
Never heard of that.
Never heard of it.
It was, looks like, it was an iPhone game. It was an iOS.
So it's not a real game.
No. No controller.
Okay, I'm not going to say that. I know that'll offend some people.
And then they went back to LEGO Harry Potter. They did years 5 through 7, which was very good, I thought, anyway. And then, you mentioned the Pirates of the Caribbean game, Zach. I didn't even know that was a thing, to be honest.
That was the second LEGO game on 3DS.
Oh, okay.
The first one was LEGO Star Wars 3. The Clone Wars was a launch game.
Okay, yeah, both of those did. Yeah, both in 2011.
I bought that launch day at midnight along with Pilot Wings. And believe it or not, I paid $40 for Steel Diver. Still don't regret it.
I know, you were...
Well, your name on Go Nintendo is Steel Diver, right?
Yeah.
as is his Miiverse name.
Yep.
So there you go.
Wait, don't say that. Right. Last time I was on Connectivity, I got like 30 friend requests.
Oh, really? Well, look at that. Look,
I don't know if that's a good thing. Guy.
It's not a bad thing, is it?
I don't know. It could be
worse than me. I already have a full friends list. I still can friend request every single day.
I know. I feel bad. Like, I'm just almost at 100, and I'm going to have to start turning people away soon. So I hope they raise that limit soon.
Thanks, Nintendo. Limit.
Yeah.
Good job.
And then we get to LEGO Batman 2, which I think is the best Batman or the best LEGO game to date.
That's really?
Yeah, I had it on my top 5 games of this year.
I prefer the original, actually.
You prefer the original LEGO Batman?
Yeah.
See, I love this one just because of the original story, the voice acting. I just find it to be a very funny,
I like it still a lot, but I still find something more charming about the original.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. The original was good too, but I think the voice acting was a good choice and kind of pushes this in a new direction, especially the original story as well. I think those are cool elements to bring to these LEGO games, and I hope they continue with that. You know, I'd like to see them take familiar IPs and do original content with it. It was the first game where it wasn't like, okay, I know everything that's going to happen because it's just retelling the movies or the show or whatever else, so.
Okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. And then did anyone play LEGO Lord of the Rings?
I heard very bad things about it, so I skipped it.
Yeah, me too, so I skipped it as well.
I just started reading The Hobbit today, so no.
You going to read all the books before you...
I have to. Well, I have to read The Hobbit for school.
Oh, you do? Oh, okay. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's okay. I don't think I'm going to like it enough to see the movies, though.
You've never seen any of the movies?
Nope.
Hmm. Look at that.
I saw District 9. It's Peter Jackson.
I guess so, yeah. I was going to say, that was a weird leap to make. Yeah, District 9 is very good.
I saw Bridesmaids.
Yeah, also very good.
I said 21 Jump Street.
Yeah, there you go. Very funny movie. You should watch the Lord of the Rings movies. They're good.
Isn't it just like 3 hours of them walking to a mountain?
Yeah, if you want to be reductive, yes. I mean, that's essentially the...
That's the Clerks too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, he just walks and then shrugs when he throws the ring down.
And then they make fun of Star Wars mannequin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think this Lord of the Rings talk is not confirmed or accepted by me, so we continue.
Sure. Well, that's it for LEGO games currently released, and then we have LEGO City Undercover coming out Well, they haven't even confirmed it yet, have they? In a couple months,
they said early 2014, so it should be any time, any moment.
It could be right now.
It could be tomorrow.
Might be sitting on store shelves right now. I'm pretty excited for that. I think I will pick this up. It looks cool. I mean, Grand Theft Auto made out of Legos. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I'm a little hesitant. I mean, I'm going to get it launch day, so it's kind of stupid for me to say I'm hesitant, but I'm a little hesitant because the developer, their last game was Spy Hunter on the 3DS and PlayStation Vita.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't very good.
I actually kind of liked Spy Hunter.
That version? Really?
Yeah, I liked the 3DS version.
Oh, okay. Well, this might be
right. I didn't play it. I just heard it was terrible, so.
It wasn't terrible. It was, in some ways, it was a favorite remake of an arcade classic, but sometimes it's not enough for some people.
Yeah.
I get that. That's totally fine.
I was looking at the Wikipedia page for this game earlier, and it says the main character's name is Harold Poopy-Doo.
Chase McCain.
Okay, I was going to say, that can't be right. Right? It says, player play is an undercover cop named Harold Poopy-Doo. And I was like, that can't be right. Someone has tricked us.
Some 8-year-old is like, I am going to ruin this podcast on the adult Nintendo website.
There's no way that's right. So, yeah, there's that.
Well, it's Wikipedia, so never trust them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I get for just looking at this. I was going to double check somewhere else. I was like, no, I won't, because I'd rather just read the name Harold Poopy-Doo.
Because the next sentence starts with Chase, so there you go. It's Chase McCain. Yeah. The interesting part during the latest Nintendo Direct, I don't know if it was for America too, they announced for Europe that there were play sets where you can get codes for missions.
Yeah, I saw one in the Lego store today.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is cool. That's kind of like bridging the gap, sort of like something Skylanders is doing.
It's Disguise DLC.
Right, yeah, where you've got purchasable, you know, real-life goods that tie into your game. So that's a smart move.
And then I saw Shibata building one up.
You what?
Then Shibata, Satoru Shibata, president of Nintendo of Europe, built one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry, we only speak Reggie.
Yeah.
Well, Reggie is worse than Shibata, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't really get the love affair with Reggie. I think he's okay, but...
We know Shibata since February 2012, but he has managed to be more charming within a year.
And then after Lego City Undercover is just Lego Marvel Superheroes, which we don't know a whole lot about. It was just announced this week, actually.
There were details released for it this week, actually.
Well, a little bit, right? I mean, we know it's sort of like the Avengers plot. You play as a handful, you know, Spider-Man, Iron Man, the Hulk, those kind of characters. And
yeah.
Nick Fury is recruiting you to save the world. So I guess we do know a little bit. But
well, between those two, I'm more excited for Lego City Undercover.
Same with me.
I might buy both. I might lean towards the Marvel game, just because I love the Lego Batman 2 so much. I think this would be cool. I mean, if it's basically as funny and inventive as Lego Batman 2, but with Marvel characters, I mean, I'll take it.
Mm.
But we'll see. But I mean, I'm excited for Undercover as well. I think I want to see more of it and see just all the stuff you do and, I don't know.
You can disguise, like, different people and then have special abilities.
Right, depending who you disguise as, that's cool, yeah.
So. And use your scanner with the Wii U gamepad, it sounds fun.
Yeah, totally. Well, maybe we'll have to do another segment in the future once that game's out and we've all played it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Which could be next week. Or it could be 2 months from now, who knows. So I think that will wrap up LEGO. So thanks guys for joining me today to talk about LEGO games. Do you guys any final thoughts?
LEGO.
Well, there you go. All right, guys. Thanks for being here. We'll see you guys later.
Lego.
Bye.